is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run! He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it. Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks. Tyrod on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile into the end zone. Boy, much to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Good afternoon. Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones, in our One Buffalo studio on a beautiful day in Orchard Park, New York, here to talk about yesterday's offensive performance. And I don't mean offensive performance. I mean offensive. It was offensive the way they played offense yesterday, right? It offended my sensibilities.
What you did there.
It
like
was
that.
Bad, Donald. Look, we knew going in, we talked about it. We talked about it Friday. The challenge to me was not going to really be Cam Newton as much as it was trying to move the ball against his Carolina defense. Mm-hmm. It was a challenge that was obviously the Bills were couldn't handle at all yesterday. It was really bad.
Yeah, it was bad. It was trying to run the ball into that defensive front was just tough. Trying to go sideline to sideline, it didn't matter. Pitch on fourth and one, I guess that was. That wasn't going to work because they're so fast. It was hard to run right up the middle against those guys, at least the zone type of thing. I think the best way to run up, I guess the best way to run against a defense like that is to really go like right at them, dive type of thing, you know, where it's like quick. They can't really react fast enough, and then you'll break one right away. But they weren't able to get anything going on the ground. They weren't able to really pass the ball yesterday. They couldn't do anything on offense. When your defense can slow a team down like the Carolina Panthers with all of the weapons that they have across the board and keep them to 9 points and you still end up losing the game, that is a bad offensive performance.
Yeah, you can't lose that game if you only give up 9 points. I mean, you can't
lose
that game.
Those are games that
– no matter what your expectations for the season are.
Exactly.
You give up 9 points, you got
to
win that game.
You have to win that game. You have to go in – I mean, that's a game that you can steal. You go into Carolina against a good team, you can steal that game. You only gave up 9 points on defense. They didn't score one touchdown, and you still end up losing the game. Those are the games that when it comes back, you know, once we get to the end of the season and you look back and you're like, man, that Carolina game, you know, regardless of what your record ends up being, that Carolina game, if you'd have just won that game, if you were able to score one touchdown, maybe you end up in the playoffs or maybe not. You know, I'm just saying these are the games that really come back to haunt you, you know, and it was a tough one.
Haunting us today, and I'm sure haunting Bills fans, and we're here to talk about it. The Bills lost 9-3 loss in Carolina yesterday. The phone lines are open at 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-552-550. We will kind of drill down deep into what the Buffalo Bills' problems were on offense yesterday over the course of the next 3 hours. But people may not want to hear this, Donald, but you do have to start with the Carolina defense. They are ranked number one in the NFL now. It's only 2 weeks. Obviously, the Bills' futility yesterday contributes to that. But it is a good, solid defense, especially up front. Those two guys in the middle, Lotulelei and Kawan Short, are outstanding. The guys on the outside, I think, played well at defensive end for Carolina. I thought Mario Addison had a big game yesterday.
Yeah, Mario Addison, Julius Peppers. The
Peppers
old man is still getting
thing.
It done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a very good defensive front. The back end of the defense is not that good, but because the front end is so good, it, you know, they kind of cover up for the deficiencies on the back end of the defense.
And people don't want to hear it, but you do have to give them credit. You give them credit. You start with that, I think, actually, when you look at what went wrong for the Buffalo Bills. You start with the fact that that's a very good defense, and the Bills, again, were not able to handle it at all. And yet there were many things that went wrong with the Buffalo offense in yesterday's game.
Yeah, they weren't able to handle it. And you know, obviously we're going to, at some point here, we might do it a little bit faster than we did last week, turn the page to the, the next game.
Right.
But they're going to have to get some things corrected, do some things differently than they did in this game because the upcoming opponent is going to be more of the same, you know. And so you have to do some things differently. There are some things that they could have done in this game differently, in my opinion, to try and you know, spread that team out and work the ball that way. It was tough to watch them continue to try to run up the middle on that team. It just wasn't – they were not moving those two defensive tackles. You just weren't going to move those guys. They couldn't do it at all, you know. And then, you know, they were eating up double teams and everything, and next thing you know, you have Thomas Davis and Luke Kuechly in there making plays. Anytime they wanted to stretch it, they couldn't do that either because the defensive ends are right there and outside linebackers. It was just – it was a tough game to watch.
Well, let's hear from you. The lines are open at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out to us on Twitter if you'd like and let us know what you thought of the game and what you thought of, you know, what the where the Bills go from here and what they try to do from here as they attempt to get better and fix what's wrong with them offensively. And on Twitter, we have a pretty much of a simple question up for you today. What will be the key – no, I'm sorry. What do you think is – reaction to the game, I guess, is what we're asking for on Twitter. You can do it on Twitter or give us a call at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550.
Reactions to the game. Great performance by the defense. You know, that's – I mean, if you want to look at a silver lining, I guess, in this thing, it was a very good performance by this defense to keep that offense to 9 points and keep this offense from scoring – a touchdown. You know, there were times where, you know, the Carolina Panthers were in the red zone and they weren't able to get it done in the red zone. I keep on saying this defense is a bend but don't break type of defense. There will be times where they will give up yards and the team will be driving down the field, and then once they get closer to the end zone, they will totally just shut it down, you know. And so I think that's my one takeaway from the game. There are other things that we are obviously going to talk about, the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, we're going to break down the Zay Jones play and how that could have gone a little bit better for this team. I know people want to talk about the clock management. What do you take away from clock management? Well, what do I take away from the clock management in this game? Look, he's a rookie head coach. Just like the rookie players, they have to go through their, you know, their learning experiences and different things like that. There's a lot that you can take away from this game, good and bad, you know. And so I think this game right here is just a learning experience. On the field, X's and O's wise, and then just when you talk about the mentality of you go into a place and you actually end up – you play so well on defense and you still end up losing that game. And I think they'll learn from this and they'll get better as they move forward.
Let's take a few phone calls here. We'll go to Dan in Kenmore. Hello, Dan. You're on the air.
Hi, John. Hi, Don.
How you doing?
The whole problem with this game is you got to get rid of Rick Dennison. His offense game plan is horrible. It was horrible in the Jets game, and it definitely was ridiculous against Carolina.
What was wrong with the game plan against the Jets? Dan, refresh my memory, if you would.
He left all these short passes over the middle. They were there, and he doesn't call them. He calls stupid running play. He sends Mike Tolbert, a big old dude, running a sweep on the outside. Where is that coming from? This is why Denver didn't want him.
Okay. Thanks for your call. I think it's ridiculous talking about getting rid of Rick Dennison. Absolutely ridiculous to talk about getting rid of Rick Dennison or any other coach at this point, 2 games in, 1-1 record. That's what got us in this 17-year drought, that kind of thinking.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously these coaches have to learn from this game and even last week with the Jets. And they do have to get better. They do have to do different things because – you know, and we talked about this. We talk about what do you take away from this game. The one thing that I take away is, and I said this back in the room, the trade of Sammy Watkins, I totally understand the trade. I totally get it. I see why they did it. But when you don't have that number one wide receiver, a true dynamic wide receiver that can do everything for you, a guy that you can throw the ball up to, a guy that scares defenses, that they have to actually game plan for, a guy that can get down the field, take the lid off the defense. When you don't have that guy, this is what happens in games because you truly are a one-dimensional team right now. You don't have that guy that they have to say, okay, they have to worry about. So they can just stack the box and take away your run game, and you're not able to really do anything else, you know. And so if Sammy Watkins was here, maybe he could have, you know, just made a play for this team to help out with some momentum and things like that to help you actually win a game. Maybe he's the one at the end of the game or at any point in the game that comes up with a big play, a touchdown that ends up winning that game, you know. I don't know if having him on this team or any other number one wide receiver on this team helps you get into the playoffs, but it does help you in games like this.
Well, I mean, I guess I'd look at it this way. Yesterday, and to a certain extent against the Jets, they're paying the price for not having Sammy Watkins. Mm-hmm. And you know, the pickup of the extra draft pick next year comes at a price. That price is lack of a complete, potentially dynamic downfield wide receiver. And we, you know, it's well chronicled Sammy Watkins' health issues and trying to stay on the field. We all know that. But there is that potential for him to be that guy. They don't have that guy. Okay, that's the price they paid. Now, does that mean you just pack it in? No, absolutely not.
They have to figure out different ways.
I would think, and even based on the last series of the game that came up short, there were signs there that there is an answer offensively for this team. And I would think, and we're going to dive deep into the incompletion to Zay Jones, that play indicates that Zay Jones could potentially be that guy. Maybe not quite as dynamic or game-breaking speed, certainly, as Sammy Watkins, but could be if not the downfield threat on this team. What do you think of that?
I think he can be the downfield threat on this team. And like you said, we're going to break down that play. Zay Jones is a young wide receiver, and there are things that he has to learn from that play. There are things that, you know, like obviously Tyrod Taylor could do in that play. But Zay Jones, I think, is going to be good moving forward. And I'm sure the leaders on this team have done a good job yesterday of talking him up on the sideline after that play in the locker room on the way back. Even today, as they watch it on film, they have to make sure that he doesn't go in the tank and he doesn't lose confidence. And I don't think he will, but he is a talented young receiver. He can be that guy who can get down the field for them. There are some learning, like there are some things that he will learn from, though, from that one play in yesterday's game.
803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Your thoughts on the game, your takeaway from the loss yesterday in Carolina. Let us know what you think. We're going to get deep into this as the afternoon goes along. Let's go to Rich in Hamburg. Hello, Rich.
Hey, who's this, Murph?
Yes, Rich. Is this Rich?
Water. Yeah.
Hey, Rich.
Yeah, this is Rich, Murph.
Hi, Rich.
I got a couple of questions.
You guys know each other? I'm trying to figure this out there.
I think we've got a great coaching staff. It's going to be like the Marv Levy. They're fantastic, and you know we're getting rid of the Doug Whaley problems, you know, and like Fitzpatrick, EJ Manuel, Tyrod Taylor, all three of them have never won more than seven games a season, and we had great weapons. We've had Hogan, Gillisley. And you can't tell me, Donald, that chemistry takes a couple of years for a receiver and a quarterback. Look at the Kansas City, Hunt and Alex Smith. I mean,
Hunt is
two games. Did they connect like water and
Hey, Rich, yeah. Hunt is a running back though. It's a little bit different.
Well, yeah, I understand that. I understand that, but. Tyrod Taylor, he can't see down the field. He's horrible. I mean,
Rich, let me stop you. Tyrod has been a really good, effective downfield thrower for his first couple of years. Hasn't happened yet this year. Whether it's, you know, he misses the deep threat that Watkins provides, or whether it's the design of the offense, clearly Tyrod must be better than he was yesterday. There's no question about that. But he's not horrible. I don't think he's horrible.
Yeah. And you were about to, Rich, talk about – is Rich still on
no,
the
line? No, I had enough.
You were about
sorry, I had enough. Get your own show.
You were about to talk about, you know, the chemistry. And I'm not saying that it takes a couple of years, even though, you know, when you're years into this thing, you do understand different things about each other. But it does take some games, you know, and it takes live game action to get chemistry with one another. It takes learning experiences like they had yesterday, you know, and that last play, that is the direct result of your chemistry being off. Directly result of we didn't play together in the off season. I didn't play that much as a quarterback in the off season. And now we're trying to learn each other in the regular season, a direct result of it.
And it was almost, and we're going to dive into that play, but it's almost a result of, I think you're going this way, you think I'm going that way.
Exactly.
And that's what happens, right?
Exactly.
We'll get into that play,
because
it's a big play, the Zay Jones incompletion at the end. We spent some time in the Buffalo locker room, clearly, after the game. We do it every game. And it's time now for a trip around the locker room presented by NOCO, at work, at home, and on the go. Wide receiver Zay Jones on the incomplete pass at the end of the game.
It's football. You know, sometimes it's not your half, and then you come out and play well in the second half, vice versa. So, I mean, that last drive was the one that mattered the most, and I just didn't get the job done.
Quarterback Tyrod Taylor unable to make the connection with Zay Jones.
Yes, I mean, he's a young player. A lot is being asked out of him. But, I mean, there's a lot of plays that's going to be made, some plays that's not going to be made. The main thing is that just got to learn from it and continue to move forward. Don't let that hinder him moving forward. Just learn from it, brush it off. And as a team, we have his back. Like I said, it didn't boil down to that. Would that have helped? Yes, but there's other plays out there that I didn't make. As a team, we didn't make. And as a team moving forward, we have to learn from it.
Running back LeSean McCoy. The Bills had trouble against Carolina's defense.
They're a good group. Play well together. They got good players. We got good players. They got star players. We got star players. They won today. You know, I give them credit. Good team. You know, good defense. Simple as that. We just didn't get it done. I really didn't get it done.
Head coach Sean McDermott, a strong pass rush for the Buffalo defense.
6 sacks, I think it was. You know, we felt good about our matchups up front and getting pressure on the quarterback and doing some things coverage-wise. So, you know, I thought the pressure was there. And that works together with the coverage. So it was good complementary football as far as that goes, the rush and the coverage.
Linebacker Preston Brown. The Bills put pressure on Cam Newton.
It was definitely impressive to see what they were doing up front. Causing havoc, making them overthrow, underthrow, doing a lot of things, shaking it up, getting hits on the quarterback, and with 6 sacks, they did a great job the whole day.
Linebacker Lorenzo Alexander, a pretty good day for the defense, but not enough.
Yeah, it's great, but we want the W. I think everybody in here will sacrifice their individual stats to come away with a win. And so we got to figure out a way to take it a step further. You know, whether that's getting the ball out on the sack, you know, because a sack is just a tackle for loss. So we got to figure out a way to get it out when we get there or get an interception holding on to the ball. And I think that would have been a huge difference, especially when you're playing a defense like that, that is stout and, you know, is known to be great in this league.
Around the Locker Room presented by NOCO, at work, at home, and on the go. NOCO, John Murphy, Donald Jones, and joining us in studio is Bills defensive end Ryan Davis. Ryan, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You're a part of it. You have to be pretty happy with the way the defense played yesterday in Carolina.
Yeah, overall, yeah, I think we played well. It was a great effort defensively. But at the same time, some things we got to work on. I think, you know, we kind of hard on ourselves, and we didn't get the ball out as, you know, like we wanted to yesterday. But, you know, overall effort was pretty good.
As good as the defense played yesterday, that's probably the one thing that you could say. We didn't create a turnover.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And that's something – because I remember thinking to myself, like, the defense might have to score for us to win this game.
Yeah, and we understand that. You know, offense, you know, give credit to what credit's due. Carolina's defense played awesome. But at the same time, we got to help our guys out, you know. So if we get the ball out, give them a shorter field, you know, I think then, you know, the ball game goes the other way.
What the mentality to create turnovers? I know coaches harp on it all the time. You guys, you know, we talk to guys at training camp about it. And at some level, though, there's an element of luck, right? Like sometimes a ball will come out, sometimes it won't. You can go in with a turnover mentality, mm-hmm. but it might not happen all the time, right?
Yeah. But at the same time, you got to be ready for those opportunities that happen. You know, you got to go at the ball or those tip passes. They may fall your way. So, but a lot of times they don't. But you know, you can't. You got to try.
Ryan Davis, Bills defensive end, in studio with us. 6 sacks on Cam Newton. And by the way, the last time the Bills played Cam Newton, they sacked him 6 times also a couple of years ago.
Okay.
But this is a guy who's typically hard to bring down. It wasn't a problem for your group yesterday.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot in the defensive room. He's a big guy with 6'5", almost 250.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like he's a DN playing quarterback. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. But you got to wrap him up. I think a couple of times we had him in our sights, but he got the ball out and he got out of a sack. So. With him, you just really got to wrap him up and bring him to the ground and just hold, like, make sure you don't throw the ball.
There were the first drive they had, a couple of third downs where he ran for one and they completed a pass to Benjamin, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, in a game where the scoring is so low, you'd like to have some of that back. But it seemed like they made some big plays on third down early, and then your defense sort of locked in as the game went along.
Yeah. I mean, that was expected. You know, Cam, you know, he keeps players alive with his feet and just how strong he is. And then he has a great arm when he gets outside the pocket. So. You know, I think second half, third quarter especially, we definitely came out with the mindset like we got them where we want them. So let's keep grinding and let's keep, you know, digging and getting after it.
What's the mindset if you're rushing the passer on a guy like Cam Newton, knowing that he can step up and step out mm-hmm. and go? So what – it's almost like you want to rush him, but
yeah. –
you also got to be careful that he can get out of there.
Yeah, our coach told us don't be afraid to go out there, you know, and not rush, do your thing, you know. So told us to go out there and do our thing, you know, rush, you know, like you don't know, you know, so to speak, who's back there almost. But we know Cam is a guy who's mobile. He can get out the pocket. I think I've lost contain on him one time in yesterday's game. But after that, it was kind of like, all right, well, that's not going to happen again. I'm not going to be, you know, scared to cut it loose. So that was our whole thing, just cut it loose and, you know, and it happened. It turned out pretty good.
With Ryan Davis, Bills defensive end, there was a lot of talk last week about the defensive line rotation. An injury to Marcel yesterday kind of threw that off a little bit. But still, there was a lot of guys. You're with essentially a second group, right? You're out there with Thornton and Washington and that second group, and even Eddie Yarbrough in that second group.
Yeah, our rotation has been key for us this year, you know, especially in yesterday's conditions where it's going to be a little hot. But, you know, our rotation is key. You know, keep guys fresh because the offensive line doesn't come out. We can rotate guys and go in hard for five plays and then come out and get a breather and do it the whole game. So that's key for us going forward, just being able to have fresh bodies in there.
Now everybody wants to really get into the flow of the game. I play receiver, so I know I needed to be in the flow of the game. Yeah. Is it the same for the defense where you feel like, I mean, I understand we want to be fresh, but we also need to get into the flow of the game, and you rotate me out, I can't really get into that flow.
Yeah, and that's what I'm glad you said that because yesterday it's been points in the game where, you know, where Jerry was cooking. You know, Jerry was on the roll, and you see Jerry out there for about 8-9 plays. You know, you got to cook. You got to let him go out there and work. And same thing with me yesterday. You know, I remember they had a couple first downs, and usually where I would get out, I kind of stayed in there just, you know, because I, you know, you feel yourself getting in that, you know, that a rhythm. So I think that's very important, but at the same time, it's important to not, you know, go out there and put, you know, bad stuff on tape and, you know, cost your team any kind of mistakes because you're tired.
Yeah. What is the expectation for you in that second unit? Obviously, you can't go out there and think, well, we're not the starters. Let's just see how we can do here, right? You got to try to make plays.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's our whole mindset. Go out there and make plays. We're all capable of going out there and doing just that. Our big thing is no drop-off. And so far, I think we've been doing a pretty good job, you know, with defensive line and defense as a whole, just playing together and, you know, not allowing, you know, teams to gash us with big runs and stuff like that. So I think this is, this rotation we have is pretty smooth.
And you, I mean, not to, you know, divide it up, but you wait and wait and wait, and you wait for your offense to kick it into gear. They finally do on the last drive. Mm-hmm. Does it get frustrating at all when you think, man, we're doing everything we can? We just need – I mean, you're one play away from winning that game yesterday.
Not at all. I've been on teams where you felt like that, but not at all yesterday. You know, we grind for that. That's, you know, that situation where – You know, our offense, you know, didn't really have it going, but, you know, we feel like we, you know, we can take over as a defense, and we did. You know, unfortunately, the ball didn't go our way, but we're ready for that. You know, we're not pointing fingers or anything. It's stuff we could have did better out there to keep them from scoring that, you know, that last field goal. We could have made them punt it, you know, have a short field for our offense, and maybe, you know, we won't even be in that situation. So, you can go a lot of ways with it, but we'll never point fingers at the offense.
Ryan, you also got special teams plays, 12, I count. You were on punt return, right?
Punt return, yeah, kick return, yeah.
And a lot of punt rush, it seemed, yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Did you almost get one?
Yeah, man, I, you know what, and I'm kind of mad at myself after that. You know, I talked to the special teams coach.
Did you go with your hands up?
I think so. And then he was left
with
a kick.
You're not supposed to go with your hands
up. You're supposed to go take it right off his foot. Mm-hmm. And I told the special team coach I wasn't expecting to come free like that because on that one, on that particular play, and how that long snapper set, it was different from what I saw on film. So I wasn't expecting to come free, so like just like that. And I'm like, oh, well, wow. And then it happened, and he told me you got to be ready. You know, you always expect to come free. So that's a lesson learned. But at the same time, I go out there and block it. You know, we in position for points right before half. Yeah. So for me, that was like, you know, that was a learning point for me.
Again, a potentially game-changing play in a low-scoring game like that.
Exactly. So – for me, I was thinking about that, you know, all night.
Because when your offense can't move the ball, on defense, it's like, we got to make something happen. Mm-hmm. On punt return, we got to make something happen. Mm-hmm. We need to go out there and block this punt. Is that how you guys were kind of talking?
We weren't really kind of talking like that on the sideline, but we knew we understood the situation. And then, you know, we just got to, you know, make it happen. You know, it's designed for us to go out there and put pressure on the punter, but, you know, at the same time, you know, you're not going to get many opportunities. You got to capitalize. And for me, I had to capitalize on that. And, And I'm kind of disappointed. I'm disappointed I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, thanks for coming in. You got meetings to go to. We appreciate you spending a few minutes with us here today. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Ryan Davis, almost a punt block and a solid game of defense for the Buffalo Bills in yesterday's game. Hey, Bills fans, time now to vote for the Blue Rock Energy Player of the Week. Powered by Blue Rock Energy, the official electricity supplier of the Bills. Voting is open. The winning player will be announced here on the show on Tuesday. Go to BlueRockEnergy.com/POTW or Blue Rock Energy's Facebook page to vote. The nominees this week for the Blue Rock Energy Player of the Week, safety Jordan Poyer with the sack and a couple of pass breakups. Linebacker Lorenzo Alexander with an all-around game. Defensive end Jerry Hughes with a solid game. And Kyle Williams, the Blue Rock Energy Player of the Week. Go to BlueRockEnergy.com/POTW to vote. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Here we go, 4th and 11. Bills at the 33-yard line. Taylor looks downfield. They flood the field with receivers. He got a man open, Zay Jones, and he can't make the catch at the 4-yard line. Zay Jones got both hands on it at the 4. It was up high. He could not bring it down, and that will do it with 9 seconds left to play.
The Hilbert College call of the game. At Hilbert College, we see things differently. Discover the Hilbert College difference at our open house September 23rd. Register today at hilbert.edu/see-difference. See Hilbert College. See differently. John Murphy, Donald Jones. Let's take a – speaking of seeing, Donald, let's dive in a little bit on that play, basically the last play of the game, the viable play. Bills 4th and 11 at the Carolina 33-yard line, 14 seconds left. They had started the drive at their own 25. They got the two-minute warning and one timeout. Carolina called a timeout. They had a chance, and they only needed one play the entire afternoon in this 9-3 loss. They had a chance to win it on that play, and everybody wants to assign blame. And let's break it down a little bit with the aid of some video, and we'll hear from Tyrod and Zay Jones in a minute here, but to start with, you see they did send receivers downfield. Tyrod seemed to do a pretty good job of holding the safety, Coleman, in the middle of the field on a two-deep safety look from the Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, it was a two-deep look, I guess like a cover two type of look from the Carolina Panthers. And the quarterback's job is to hold the safety. Hold the safety in the middle of the field when you are running a flag pattern, right? So it's a perfect, what they ran looked to be like a smash type of concept where you have a flag by the inside receiver and then you have, the outside guy will run like a hitch or something like that just to keep that corner right there. It's perfect for cover two. So you got the perfect call and the perfect defense, what you want, right? Tyrod Taylor's job is to hold the safety in the middle of the field. He obviously did enough to hold the safety in the middle of the field because the safety in the cover two, typically they're supposed to get wide. But if you watch the play, if you think back to, for people who are listening in on the radio, if you think back to yesterday, the safety did not get wide and he never even went outside the numbers. So when you're a receiver, you are taught to run your route high, right? So when you run a flag pattern and you get deeper into that red zone area, you want to keep it high, and the quarterback is supposed to throw you flat. So if the safety comes over top of you, the quarterback's job is to throw the ball flatter, and you have to make that adjustment
flatter
and go
towards the sideline.
Zay Jones yesterday actually, and I'm not trying to blame Zay Jones because it still could have been a better pass and a better play made by Zay Jones, but Zay Jones yesterday on that route, the safety never came wide, so Zay Jones was supposed to stay high. He went
high, meaning head to the end zone?
Heading to the end zone. So usually you'll head to the back pylon in that situation. He went flat to the sideline. Tyrod Taylor's expecting him to stay high because there was no need for him to go flat.
So Tyrod needs to have the same read of the safety as
right.
the receiver, Zay
right.
Jones in this case.
And this is why we talk about chemistry and rookie wide receivers, things that you have to learn about each other, things that Zay Jones has to learn about playing at this level. If the safety is never getting wide, you stay high, and the quarterback will throw you down if he needs to. Tyrod Taylor threw the ball as if he was expecting Zay Jones to run a high route. Zay Jones went flat, which is why the ball was behind Zay Jones. Now, can he still make the catch? Yes, he can still make that catch. It's not an easy catch, but it's a catch that even he will tell you, I got to make that catch, like he said yesterday. You know, so, it was – It was something that Zay Jones will learn from, and he'll probably never do it again. He will always run his flag patterns high and let the quarterback throw him down to the sideline.
You know, I wonder, and we'll hear from Zay Jones in a minute here, but he was fairly distraught after the play among several others on the field for the Bills. You wonder if he was distraught about two hands on the ball, on the ball, didn't make the catch, or I should have kept running high and not headed outside.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You know,
maybe he realized instantly he threw it there because he thought I'd be there, you know?
When you do something on the field, you know instantly, I just messed that play up because I know I'm supposed to stay high. And if you think back to the play, when you watch it on the replays and things, Zay Jones actually stumbled when he tried to get around that first-level defender who was the linebacker, yeah, Thomas Davis. He stumbled, and he could have even panicked, you know, like, oh, man, I got to get up and get back into my route. And that's what it seems like he did, and when he did that, he broke it flat, you know. And if he never stumbled, he would have been able to read the defense, see that the safety wasn't coming over top of him. He could have stayed high. There are things that he will really, truly learn from, and he will be a better player just from that one play.
You know what else is interesting? If you had a chance to look at the play, I did again this morning a couple of times, Luke Kuechly's reaction, who was, trailing the play downfield deep, trailing, but he knew instantly that we almost got beat.
We almost got beat.
I mean, that's how close it was.
But somebody on their defense was wrong, and yeah. I'm going to guess that it was a safety. The safety is supposed to get – it's a cover two look.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be wide. Now, some safeties won't – they don't get that wide, but on a cover two, your job is to get wide. And if you have an inside receiver running a flag route, that is your guy, and he didn't get wide. So, yeah, the Bills were supposed to connect on that one, and that would have been an easy touchdown, obviously, if Zay Jones would have, you know, I guess if he would have kept that one high instead of going flat towards the sideline. Ultimately, like I said, he'll learn from this play. He'll get better. But this is why we keep saying the chemistry is not on with these guys because, you know, a couple more games into this thing, and from this one instance, a couple more games into this thing, and they'll both understand where they're supposed to be. You know, Zay Jones will get it. And even if Zay Jones doesn't, Tyrod Taylor will be able to make the adjustment. It's a quick adjustment by Tyrod Taylor, but to make the adjustment and actually make that throw towards the sideline, Zay Jones comes down with the catch. You end up with the ball on the one instead of a touchdown, but at least you end up with the ball on the one.
Yeah. Tyrod talked about it at the podium after the game. Here's what he had to say about that misconnection with Zay Jones.
I was able to hold the safety. We just wasn't able to make the play. Other plays out there on the field that could have been made, but we didn't get a chance to make that one. He's a young player. A lot is being asked out of him, but there's a lot of plays that's going to be made, some plays that's not going to be made. The main thing is that just got to learn from it, continue to move forward. Don't let that hinder him moving forward. Just learn from it, brush it off. And as a team, we have his back. Like I said, it didn't boil down to that. Would that have helped? Yes, but there's other plays out there that I didn't make. As a team, we didn't make. As a team moving forward, we have to learn from it.
Again, the reaction from Kuechly, priceless.
Yeah, he was going off.
The game was won on that play.
The game was definitely won on that play.
And Kuechly slamming his helmet like they just blew it.
Because Kuechly knew that they did blow it.
They did
blow it, but, you know, obviously the Bills weren't able to make that play. But, you know, the biggest thing that Tyrod Taylor said there was, and a lot of people are going to, as we're talking about that final play, and they could have won the game on that final play, there were a lot of other plays out there on the field that they did not execute, you know. And so if you end up losing a game 9-3, there are a lot of plays that you didn't execute. And I don't want to just say, well, you lost the game because you didn't make this one play at the end of the game. No, we didn't make any of the rest of the plays during the course of the game. That's the play that everybody is going to pay attention to because you still had a chance to win it.
I mean, Ryan Davis just talked about how close he was to blocking a punt.
Right.
In a game like that, that
exactly.
would have been a huge play. Zay Jones obviously seemed to be, upset about that last play, the failed connection there, and he talked about it at his locker in the locker room in Carolina yesterday.
Coach saw a great opportunity to capitalize on the defense. Tyrod made a good throw, and I just didn't come down with the catch.
Were you the number one target on that play from the beginning, or was it really just to see how it unfolded?
I think everyone was a viable option. The ball just came my way, and I just didn't make the play.
So you had to adjust mid-air. Did you lose your balance a little bit when that happened?
Not really. I mean, I think it was a pretty good thrown ball. Perfect play to beat the coverage. It just I just didn't make the catch. Just didn't bounce my way.
How tough is that, knowing that you know there was an opportunity to possibly win a game there if you're able to haul that one in?
It's very tough, especially because of the guys in this locker room that I play my heart out for and absolutely love. It's just really difficult right now.
You're kind of held in check throughout the rest of the game until that final drive. What changed on that final drive that you were able to get open a little bit?
It's football. You know, sometimes it's not your half, and then you come out and play well in the second half, vice versa. So, I mean, that last drive was the one that mattered the most, and I just didn't get the job done.
After that last play, your teammates came up to you and crowded around you. What did they say, and how much did that mean to you?
I would like to keep that personal. It's something between me and my teammates.
But how much did it mean to you to have them come up and support you immediately?
It meant a lot to me. These are my guys. I love them to death, so it did mean a lot to me.
How does this tough loss for you, but how nice was it to have a homecoming back here to North Carolina?
It's always great to be in North Carolina. It would have been better with the win, but I let my team down. I didn't get the job done today.
How does this offense bounce back from this?
I just keep doing what we do best. Keep playing hard, stay the course, and just do what we do best.
Is it getting a little late? Can you just talk about the last play and just what you saw there?
Yeah. That's okay. It was a great call by our coaching staff. Good thrown ball by Tyrod. I just didn't make the play to help my team win this game.
Zay Jones, that's tough, and yeah. I get it on both ends. The reporter gets there late, but he's got to ask the question again. Zay obviously struggling a little bit emotionally answering his questions, and now he's got to go through it again.
It is tough because he's a young receiver, a rookie receiver, and he's in a position where he has to make plays for his team. He is a starter on this team, and he has to make plays, and he still is learning how to play this game at this level. And we always talk about these players when they come into the NFL, as good as they were in college, they still have to learn how to play this game at the NFL level. It's totally different than college, And so, this is going to be a learning experience for Zay Jones. I remember being young and running flag routes, and it took me so long to get it right. And my coach, Chan Gailey, and he would always say, keep it higher. Even Fitz, keep it higher. And I would always, because you're running a route and you feel like you have to break away from the safety, and it's hard for you to understand. You don't even, basically, like you put your foot in the ground, you don't even really go to the sideline. You really should just put your foot in the ground and go so high where you're basically truly going to the back pylon, and you can make that adjustment. But it takes you a while to understand that, and it takes learning experiences like this. It's tough that it's in a losing effort, and it's tough that it came down to this one play where you could have won the game for your team, but he learned, and he's going to be better from this one play.
He had clearly had the support of his teammates on the field right after, people tapping him on the head in the locker room. He talked about that a little bit, Zay Jones did, and he even got support from Bills alumni, including your buddy Stevie Johnson, who tweeted out, I thought, a really cool tweet last night. Stevie Johnson said, "Keep your head up, Zay Jones. You're going to catch a lot of balls for a lot of touchdowns and, make a ton of money while doing it."
Yeah.
But good for Stevie to chime in from the West Coast, that he recognizes that, what a difficult play it was, and showed him some support like that. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, Stevie went through it as well, when he was young and trying to learn how to play the game, and Stevie ran routes a certain way, and the coaches would be on him. "Stevie, you got to do it this way. Just trust. We understand how, you do other things, but on this route, we need you to do it this way." And it took him a while to understand it as well. But once he got it, Stevie got it, and he ended up making a ton of money, catching a lot of balls. So he understands. And he also understands, as we all know, Stevie Johnson had the bag. He went through where he had the great game against the Bengals.
Yeah.
And then the next week against the Steelers, where he drops that ball to win that game in overtime. Yeah. So he knows what that feels like. So it was a great thing for him to actually chime in and tweet Zay Jones, like, "Listen, you're going to catch a lot of balls. It's going to be okay. Right now it hurts because you wanted to win that game, but you will move on and you'll get better from this experience."
We ought to get Stevie on the show.
I'm texting him right now, trying to make that happen.
putting the onus on Donald. We got more to come. In fact, in about 15 minutes, we're going to hear live Sean McDermott's post-game news conference. In the meantime, we'll get your thoughts about yesterday's game. Break down the game for us from your view. The Bills lost in Carolina. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
They'll toss, sweep left side. McCaffrey looking for room. Cuts up the middle. He's going to be dropped by the Bills at the 10-yard line. Lost about a yard on the play. Nice play there by Ramon Humbert. Nice play in the red zone, the Hunt Real Estate red zone. Visit huntrealestate.com to score on all of your real estate needs. The Bills were stout in the red zone, Donald. Carolina 0 for 3 in the red zone. And, you know, Bills players that I talk to in the locker room will tell you that's part of their formula. You can give up kicks if you have to, but don't give up touchdowns. The other part of the formula was you got to get takeaways. That didn't come through at all.
Yeah, that definitely didn't come through. And I've been saying this defense, when you're running as more of a zone type of scheme, you do become a bend but don't break defense. So what happens is they want to be able to get pressure without having to send so many blitzes, which means that you drop guys into coverage. You're trying to get pressure up front, but if the offensive line can hold up, then, you know, you're going to see big chunk plays. You're going to see 15, 20-yard passes, but they don't want to give up the huge play. And by the time they get down to the red zone, they kind of switch it up on you, and then they lock you down, and you can't score points. I think we're going to see that all year, a bend but don't break type of defense, but they do need to get those turnovers.
But there were some chunks of passing plays.
Oh, yeah.
You expect that'll be the case again against this
defense. I think that's going to be the case. You saw a couple of them last week against the Jets. You saw him, obviously, yesterday. You're going to see him this week coming up against the Broncos, who passed the ball all over the field.
Probably the best offensive Bills have faced so far.
Yeah, so far. Truly the best offensive.
Number one rushing team in the league right now.
Number one rushing team, and they have a few weapons outside that can make plays, you know, and a quarterback that's actually distributing the ball all over the field. So you're going to see it, but I think they will do a good job of locking it down once they get closer into the red zone. And that's how this scheme works. You know, it's more of a bend but don't break type of scheme. It just changes up once they get closer to the red zone. But your offense has to put points up.
Let's see if we can squeeze in a call here from James in Derby. Hello, James. Welcome. You're on the show with us.
John, this is one of your oldest people that have seen the Bills play. I saw them come in at the Polo Grounds when they first had their first practice. And I'd like to say that the people of Buffalo are not happy with the Bills. I think that's terrible. They saw one of the best games of defense they ever saw in their whole life yesterday.
Yeah. The defense doesn't excite people, though. That's a problem right now.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely doesn't excite. What excites people is the W, you know, and you came out of the game with the loss. So, yeah, people are upset. And I'm going to tell you, this is why people are upset. I was talking to a couple of former players last night, and it was like, man, like these are the things that Bills fans and even Bills players have been seeing for the last 17 years, or games like this where – you know, you have a chance to win a game and you don't make the play to win the game, you know, and these are the things, like I said earlier, that will come back and haunt this team. But you do have some young players on this team that will be here for a long time. And those guys learned, like Zay Jones learned from plays that he and those other guys weren't able to make yesterday in the game. Here's the thing. The Bills team right now, they have to the defense is good. The offense, they have to find different ways to get the ball into the hands of the playmakers. For me, that's what it is. You're going to run the ball, I get that, but you got to find different ways to get the ball into the hands of the playmakers. If they can do that, then they'll be able to move the ball and they'll be able to score points. And if that causes you to have to spread teams out, then that is what you have to do, especially against good defenses like yesterday and good defenses like the one they're about to face this upcoming Sunday.
If you're on the line, stay there. We're going to get to your calls. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we'll hear from Sean McDermott, head coach of the Buffalo Bills, his Monday news conference to update injuries and talk about yesterday's loss. All of that coming up in just a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. The Bills 1-1 now after yesterday's 9-3 loss to the Panthers in Carolina. An offensive breakdown for the Bills. LeSean McCoy just 9 yards on 12 carries. They only got 176 total net yards of offense. Another story on defense. Bills kept the Panthers out of the end zone. They were 0-for-3 in the red zone. They held Carolina to 77 yards on the ground. They sacked Cam Newton a half dozen times, but no takeaways. And the defensive players in the locker room say they've got to fix that. On the injury front, left tackle Cordy Glenn left the game with an ankle, did not return. Rookie Deion Dawkins finished the game. Marcel Darius left the game for a while with an ankle. Sean McDermott, moments away from his Monday news conference, will carry it live, and we expect somewhat of an injury update at that point. Next up, the Bills and the Denver Broncos, Sunday, New Era Field. That's a 1 o'clock kickoff. Carolina suffered a bad injury yesterday. Tight end Greg Olsen told reporters he broke his foot in the first half of that win over Buffalo. He was carted back onto the field in the second half with a walking boot and crutches. Ian Rappaport from NFL Network said Olsen is expected to miss about 6 to 8 weeks and could go to injured reserve. Miami Dolphins are wondering about linebacker Lawrence Timmons, scheduled to meet today with doctors to figure out what's wrong with him. They hope that he practices this week. Dolphins are not sure what the issue is. One league source says he does not think it is early onset of CTE. Timmons, 31 years old, going into his 11th season, was dealing with a personal matter. Two of the Packers' biggest playmakers did not make it through the first series of their loss last night to Atlanta, their 34-23 loss. Receiver Jordy Nelson hobbled off the field because of a quad injury. Receiver Randall Cobb tried to play through a shoulder injury and finally dropped out in the fourth quarter. Defensive tackle Mike Daniels pulled a hamstring on the Falcons' first drive of the game. The Bears say they're not going to bench Mike Glennon in favor of Mitchell Trubisky. They're not moving on from him yet, even after yesterday's 29-7 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Sabres preseason starts tonight. Buffalo hosting Carolina. 7 o'clock face-off at KeyBank Center downtown. And tomorrow the Sabres play on the road at Penn State to take on the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's the update from One Bills Drive. Yes, that's right, Donald Jones. Hockey is back in Buffalo in September. What are you shaking your head about, man? One Buffalo, baby. Come on.
Look, I got on a Sabres shirt here.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm representing One Buffalo.
One Buffalo. Sabres preseason hockey tonight. Well,
are you going?
I am not. No, I'm not even watching football tonight. That Monday night game holds little interest for me. I just saw the Giants last week.
Yeah. I think Odell is playing, though.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm not, are you watching?
I probably will, just because I can't help myself. You know, like, I'll probably, because this is what I'll do. I'll sit down and I'll prepare for tomorrow, and I'll go on my phone on Twitter, and people are talking about it, and then it's like, you know what, let me turn the game on real fast, and then I end up watching it.
I'll probably turn it on at some point. Give us your thoughts on the game. What went wrong yesterday? The phone line's open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550 or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. David Sermon tweets in, one thing I disliked about the game was taking out Brandon Tate. That was a bad move. That was a curious move, I thought. I was surprised to get word of that at 11:30, an hour and a half before kickoff, and they wanted to get Kalen Clay some work as a punt returner. He has been a dynamic punt returner in the past. His second NFL game a couple of years ago, Kalen Clay ran a punt back for Baltimore, 85 yards for a touchdown on Monday Night Football. So he's got that capability. But I thought Tate did a fine job against the Jets a week ago. I was surprised by that.
You know, I'll say this. You know, the one thing, yeah, you want to have guys with crazy return ability, guys that can take it to the house. Brandon Tate, in my opinion, and I don't know if he has the speed enough to take it all the way the distance. He might not. I don't know. But he is consistent in picking up yards for your team and putting your team making good decisions, catching the ball, and putting the team in the right position to actually make plays and score touchdowns. Yesterday, Kalen Clay, another young player, almost cost the team, you know, it could have been another touchdown when he dropped that punt, when he muffed that punt. And,
yeah.
You know, who ended up falling on it? I can't even remember who fell on it.
Yeah.
Who fell on it. Yeah. But, yeah, you know, and when they sat Brandon Tate down, it did make me scratch my head. Like, wow, Brandon Tate, they're going to sit him down? But,
right.
You know, obviously they see something in Kalen Clay that, you know, we'll see if this is something that continues where Brandon Tate is a healthy scratch moving forward. But Brandon Tate is a consistent returner for this team. He can get you 15 yards on a punt return. You know, he's going to make good decisions. And most importantly, he is going to catch the ball. And fans don't want to hear that sometimes, but you rather him catch the ball than for him to drop the ball. You know, I'd rather have a guy back there who catches it every time than a guy who can break one, score one touchdown during the course of a season, but he always is putting the ball on the ground.
Right. It was Sharice Wright.
Who recovered it in
the third quarter. Mm-hmm. And I did say this to Mark Kelso during the game. There was that, and there was also like some indecision, mm-hmm. I thought, at least earlier on the part of Kalen Clay. And, look, he hasn't done it a whole lot in the past, but he's done it some. But you got to be secure with the ball. I mean, you'd like to think that even if, you know, the Bills are trying to find the pieces and rebuilding a little bit, you'd like to think there were a couple of things they can build upon. And I guess I went into yesterday thinking Brandon Tate, we can rely on him as a reliable punt catcher and maybe get a couple of good returns out of him.
Yeah, exactly.
Puzzled by that. Maybe Sean McDermott will talk about it, waiting for the head coach of the Bills to step to the podium for his regular Monday news conference. We'll carry it live. There's a tweet here I want to – and it goes – you did a great job, by the way, 35 minutes ago, breaking down the last play, the Tyrod misconnection to Zay mm-hmm. Jones. Sam Oaks tweets in, Tyrod Taylor is the experienced player. He needs to make a better throw. Don't blame Zay. I don't hear you blame Zay.
Blaming Zay.
And there's no blame here. We're kind of – and that's why, I guess some people feel a need to point a finger here. I think the play was obviously significant in that low-scoring game. Obviously, the play that's on everybody's mind. Why do we got to look for somebody to blame? How about figuring out what went on there? And I think, again, you did a great job of kind of explaining how a play like that happens.
That's all I was trying to do. And once again, like I said, after I got done breaking down that entire play – yeah, that is the one play that sticks out in everybody's mind. And, yeah, you need to make that play to win the game, and you find a way to win the game at the end of the game. But there are a lot of other plays in that game that didn't get made by anybody on the offensive side of the ball, you know. So there are a lot of run plays where the offensive line didn't get it done. There are a lot of pass plays where the offensive line didn't get it done. Tyrod Taylor said himself, you know, there are probably receivers out there that I haven't had a chance to go back and really watch the film that he missed. Who knows, you know. But – we always want to look for somebody to blame. Blame the entire team. They lost.
Yeah.
That's it. You lost the game. The entire team lost the game. The entire offense wasn't able to get it done. The defense played a great game. But just like Ryan Davis said on air, we didn't create a turnover. You know, in defense, you want to be able to create turnovers, regardless of how good you played. They didn't get that done, you know. So you can put blame on everybody. But blame the entire team. It's a team. That's why this is a team game.
Let's see if we can squeeze in a call. And if we have – if we have to cut you off, we will, as we wait for Sean McDermott to go to the podium. Dave in Williamsville. Hi, Dave. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, John. My only point is that I have to point the finger a little bit at Dennison. I think that by halftime, definitely by the middle of the third quarter, we knew we couldn't run on them. So why not throw the planned game plan out the window and do some spread, do some two-minute offense? Because that seemed to work towards the end of the game. I was just looking for something dynamic from our offensive coordinator once we found out what we were doing wouldn't work. The only thing I go back to is many years ago, the K-gun came around because Kelly and Marchibota sat in a plane one day and said, hey, why don't we try this? It works at the end of the game. Why don't we try throughout the whole game?
Yeah, it's a valid point, Dave. And I think, Donald, you and I talked about this morning. It took until really the last series when mm-hmm. the Bills were desperate, throwing the ball a lot, and they recognized, I think, that let's spread it out and see what we can get, and they did move the ball. Can you do that all game? I don't know, but at least maybe there was a kernel there of something that might have worked.
You know, it's not something that – now some teams do spread it out the entire game. I think you need to have a – this is why we always talk about being balanced. And when we talk about being balanced, it's not just being able to pass the ball. It's being balanced in – your approach to the game and the way you actually line up and all of that stuff. So if you're running, you know, two tight end personnel and you're running with so much a running back and a fullback, but it's not really getting done for you, your zone stretch game is not getting done, well, now what do we do? Maybe we spread them out now. You go four wide receivers, and you can still run the ball with Shady up the middle, but at least you're taking guys out of the box where it gives Shady a little bit more room to work on the inside, you know, and then once you do that, then you can pass the ball. I mean, there are different ways that you have to get it done. If something is not working during the course of a game, switch it up a little bit.
Yeah. I think it's important to note, too, that it's not just scheme. Guys were not winning their battles up front.
Exactly.
You know? And even McCoy admitted after the game he did not run that well, but the offensive line was they had their handful, quite frankly, with Star Lotulelei and with Kawan Short and Addison. We talked about that, too. Sean McDermott stepping to the podium right now. Let's listen in over in the media room.
Yeah, you know, injury-wise, you know, we still got some guys being evaluated right now, both Marcel and Cordy, two of the guys being evaluated still. So we're still a little early in that process at this point, Mike, so we'll know a little bit more hopefully in the next 24, 48 hours. All in all, it seems like we came out fairly decent. You know, your normal typical, you know, bumps and bruises and things. But right now, you know, all in all, fairly well at this point.
What do you make of the offensive struggles? I know it's a good defense in Carolina, but there seems to be a sense of whether maybe was this the fallout from an offseason in which you shuffled receivers and Tyrod missed time because of the concussion and just didn't have time to get on the same page, or is it something more dire at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I know what we're looking at. I mean, I feel the frustration out there. I thought we got into a rhythm at times, and other times we didn't. And, you know, we're looking at everything. And, you know, some of the deep shots we had up, called up down the field didn't work out the way we wanted them to. And then we get into a rhythm to start the second half. We get into a rhythm in the two-minute, obviously, and made some plays. So there's some good things going on. That said, you know, at the end of the day, 3 points, it's hard to win games in this league when you're scoring 3 points. So we've got to look at a lot of things, and we're going to do that this week.
This does not – I mean, there was the thought process that if this team can't run, then there's going to be trouble moving the ball. I know you want to – you know, I mean, that's still there. How do you rectify that issue that if you can't run, you're not moving at this point?
Well, I think that's legitimate. You know, we've got to look at that and say, what are we doing to get the ball spread around the field and doing different things. We're looking at everything to change things up. You know, we've got to obviously try and keep defenses on their heels a little bit more. That was an aggressive defense we faced yesterday. We knew that. And there were certainly some things we could have done better, and we didn't get it done.
Taylor 17 for 25. Yesterday, 125. Rather pedestrian performance. You're two games in the season with this guy. When you talk about changes, at what point are you looking at that quarterback position? People out there want Peterman already.
Yeah, we look at every position. You know, and I've said that before. We look at every position, and there's things we can do better at every position. It's never just one guy, and that's what you have to understand. And you know, there's 11 guys on the field, and, you know, there's 46 guys that are dressed. So that's, you know, it's never just one guy. So we can all do our own part and do a better job, and that's what I expect going forward, that we're going to you know, look at things hard this week and again, try and change some things up, look at some things, and that's what we have to do. We're 2 weeks into a young season, and that's part of it. This is part of the process. You know, would I've loved to see us come out yesterday with a win? Absolutely, absolutely. You know, that said, there were a lot of highlights yesterday. There were a lot of good moments in the game yesterday, and we've got to celebrate those and then come back and say, hey, what can we do to get better? Because it wasn't all where it needs to be.
Is it safe to conclude that the quarterback also needs to play better?
Well, we all do. The quarterback, myself, you know, all parts of this football team need to do a better job. Obviously, you know, and really you say, hey, you look at it and say, hey, regardless of the outcome, you know, we've got to continue to get better. And that's true. And that's what you do in the process of developing as a football team. And, you know, all parts of us need to improve.
Why did you not take a timeout after Tyrod scrambled on 1st and 20 on your last set of downs?
Yeah, you know, those can go either way. You know, what I was looking at really there was real estate. You know, I felt like we had some real estate, a significant amount to cover, and I felt like if we could get the ball into the medium, you know, red zone area and then get it down to take one more shot. So I wanted to make sure at that point we could save the timeouts if we needed them. When you look at the film, you'd see that what I was seeing during the game was Tyrod, you know, and the routes were close enough, I felt like, where we could get back and get the play snapped. You know, those can really go either way. You know, if Zay is touched down on that last play, if we burn those timeouts, he's touched down, clock runs out. So I wanted to make sure we had one in the bank for sure. I know at that point we had two, which we burned one before the fourth down play, I believe it was, too. So those can go either way. You know, those are things I'm going to continue to learn and look at myself for, you know, so... you know, that's certainly something I'm taking a hard look at as well.
Just to be clear, when you said you look at every position in reference to Bucky's question about Tyrod versus Peterman, are you saying that changing quarterback this week is a possibility?
No, Tyrod's our starter.
He's going to stay there until further notice. And you said too, Sean, that you know you're worried, you know, concentrating on the now, but there's also a bigger picture, you know, and that is the development and you know of players, including the quarterback. Is that all part of this equation?
In terms of
the quarterback position included. You know,
sure.
you need to continue. I mean, I don't know. If Nathan was ready to play right now, he'd be playing right now. So you have some work to do there, too.
We do. Yeah, I mean, every position. This is about us moving forward as an organization, as a football team, to get better and better and better. And that's every position. And, you know, what I said earlier, I meant. And, you know, we have to do that. We have to be honest with ourselves and what we're getting and putting ourselves in the best possible position to win games. And so, you know, I expect Tyrod to come out this week and you know, put in a good week's work, and just like the rest of our football team, and you know, come out firing come Sunday.
As a defensive, you're a head coach now, but with a defensive background, how impressed are you at how this defense has turned itself around, has played the first two games of the season?
They've played extremely, extremely well. They played hard. You know, I think they've been on the attack, and that's what I enjoy seeing. I enjoy seeing our guys attack in all three phases. And when you do that, when you attack, normally good things happen. So they're playing well. You're seeing guys that, you know, we've brought in, or guys that have been here, develop. You know, you see Ramon Humber put another good game out there yesterday. Jordan Poyer, I thought the pressure on the quarterback, they did a tremendous job throughout the game of affecting the quarterback from a front four, but also from pressure. So, and that, you've heard me say before, the complementary part of that is the rush and the coverage working together to get the quarterback to hold the ball. So that was all good, and I thought the red zone defense was outstanding, obviously not giving up a touchdown. Give yourself a chance to win the game, which we had at the end.
Sean, Brandon Tate last season was fifth in the league in punt returns and kick returns. What did you see in practice that made you go away from him and to a guy like Kalen Clay, who, quite frankly, yesterday didn't look up to the moment?
Well, you know, I certainly know what Brandon can do, and I understand where you're going with that. You know, Brandon's a valuable member of this football team, and I wanted to take a look at Clay and see what he could do from a special team standpoint, first of all, and then also an offensive standpoint. And so that's just about, again, no different with evaluating different positions. We were just wanted to take a look at Clay in that regard.
Go back to the tape this week?
We'll see. We haven't had time to, you know, really sit down and talk that through yet at this point.
In a lot of those lines, you worked out punter today, Matt Darr. What did you see on Colton this weekend?
I thought he had a good game. I really did. That was a tough unit to go against in terms of the returner, and it was important that we had good ball placement close to the sideline. I thought he did a phenomenal job, gave our coverage units a chance, and really they willed themselves into basically shutting McCaffrey down. I thought they did a phenomenal job. I'm real proud of their performance.
Sean, how do you, you know, you've been in the league long enough, you understand that no matter who the quarterback is, I remember a time here where people wanted Frank Reich to play quarterback instead of Jim Kelly. As ludicrous as that sounds now. But no matter who the quarterback is, people tend to want the other guy. When the quarterback has been such a problem here, people tend to want the other guy. How do you resist the urge to not cave to that?
Well, it's stay with the plan. You know, I've been around a couple coaches that have had what I would consider pretty good success in this league, one of which is Andy Reid. And so, you know, I watched when he was in a similar situation, you know, and he stayed true to his plan, and you have to adjust the plan from time to time, and that's what you do. But every decision Andy made and every decision we're trying to make is in what we believe to be the best interest of this team and this organization, both short and long term. And
right.
And I keep saying that, but that's really how you stay the course. And, you know, it's an early part of the season. And, you know, look, it's easy to lead coming off of last week and the week prior to this week and now coming off of this week, you know. You know, the challenge is for the leaders, myself, to get out in front of this team and for us to bounce back. That's what we've got to do at home.
Are you concerned that, you know, kind of what John was saying, like, you're a defensive coach. Any coach in this league can shut down one player. That other teams are going to start really zooming in on McCoy because they're not worried about getting beat in the passing game. And yesterday's game, that wasn't just a bad game, but it could be indicative of the way that other teams attack you.
Right, exactly right. That's you're right on it with that. I mean, that's where we've got to look at things. We've got to look at doing things a little bit differently and, you know, moving some pieces around and putting players in positions of strengths and doing some things that we do best, which I thought at times we did. And I think at times we've done that over the course of of the first two games. And so we absolutely have to look at that.
Charles Clay, I didn't look at the snap counts, but the tight end position didn't seem to be as involved in the passing attack. Was that because of concerns? Did you want to keep guys in against the rush to protect Tyrod maybe a little bit more?
Well, some of that. Yeah, we were not in favorable third down situations at times. Our first down success, I believe, in the first half for sure. In the second half, it got a little bit better. So you're forced to do that at times when you're in third and long. That said, they've got some pretty good players on their side of the ball that match up well with tight ends and Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis, and Shaq Thompson. So, give credit where credit's due as well.
I don't want to get you in trouble, obviously, but you had a chance to look at the Andre Holmes OPI call. Did you feel that it was justified?
You know, those are tough. The thing I can say is that it was we would have liked to have been first and goal, first and 10 from about the 20-yard line, 18-yard line with close to a minute, would have been about close to a minute to play in two timeouts. But, hey, I don't want to play the woulda, shoulda, coulda game. That's not how you grow. And, I thought that Andre ran a good route and the ball was delivered. And, we still gave ourselves a chance to win. I like the fact that our team stayed with it and gave ourselves a chance to win with the last play.
Sean, there's a honeymoon period for new coaches when they take over a team with the fan base. For you, that dates back to January, probably goes right through week one, a win against the division team. Do you feel like now when you're sitting up here answering questions that aren't as easy about, an offense that put up 3 points and why you did or didn't take a timeout, that maybe that honeymoon period has sort of come to a conclusion now?
My honeymoon, I've never had a honeymoon. I'm not going to talk about my personal life here, but no, I've never looked at it that way. That's not when you take a job, in my opinion, you take it with more responsibility and accountability. And that was my approach from day one. I didn't look at this job with that in mind, and I'll never look at this job that way.
How do you approach Zay Jones, who was just in tears in the locker room yesterday, and what do you want to see from him, and what do you hope the team or the coaching staff does to lift his spirit?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. Number one, he needs to understand, and we all need to understand, it takes more than one guy. And there was plenty of opportunities to win that game before that play, and he's going to make more of those than he doesn't. And so this is a young player. Yesterday on the field, we've got three, sometimes four or five rookies on the field, and they're getting tremendous experience. And they're out there sometimes not starting, and they're playing special teams. Other times we've got three guys starting. And so I just think that, we're only going to get better with those guys playing, getting valuable experience. Now next time he's in that situation, he'll have been there before and done that. So I'm looking forward to his next opportunity, really.
Looking back on that final play on film, did you think that should have been called? Do you think the pass could have been better after taking it in again?
Yeah, just overall, just better execution overall, and we gave ourselves a chance to win and next time I expect us to win. And that's what we're looking for moving forward. It's that belief and the execution and you hope you're not in that situation. You hope you're ahead of it at that point in the game. And so that's where we're trying to grow as a football team.
Zay was really hard on himself in the locker room after the game. Given even not in the immediate time when he comes off the sideline, we saw all the players come over and tap him and hug him and things like that. I know that they were encouraging him, but even when it's lingering after that, after the game in the locker room, what's your role then become as a head coach, especially one who tries to foster the culture that you're trying to foster in that locker room so that he doesn't have that impact him going forward?
Belief, and reminding the young man that we believe in him and he's here for a reason. He's here to catch those balls, and he will, and I firmly believe that. I really do, and I think everyone in that locker room believes in Zay Jones, and that's where it starts, is the mindset. We're going to get that opportunity again this year, and I hope it's Zay. Because I know he'll make that play. But that's really where it starts.
Come with maturity a little bit too, Sean, where you realize that, when you're young, the plays get magnified that you don't make. You forget about the third down drop in the second quarter, which could be just as big.
Mm. The part I love about
it. Understand it when they're young.
Yeah, there's a lot that's going on. There's a lot on their plate when they're young. There's something to be said for experience in all walks of life, right? Football no different, a rookie football player in the NFL, experience is a benefit. And so now he's been there before. And I look forward to having him in that same situation again. I know he'll make the play. But the part I love about it, going back to Sal's point, is he cares. The amount of care, the amount of disappointment that was in the locker room yesterday, these guys care. And that doesn't happen everywhere, believe it or not, in this league. And those guys put it on the line, and it meant something to them. And so I can live with that.
Not to say that you're pleased with the loss, but you seem to be relishing the opportunity to see what this team does coming off its real first test of adversity.
I am. I think that we'll find out a little bit more about our team. This is us getting to know our team, them getting to know me. It's the first time I've had to go in, after the honeymoon and address the team, and so they were, I'm sure it's, hey, their first time, what's coach going to be like after we come up short, and so I'm looking forward to seeing them after this situation, how we hit the reset button, learn from it, grow from it, and develop, and that's really what the vision is all about, and that we stay on the attack in terms of what we're doing off the field and on the field.
Coach, you targeted Jordan Poyer early in the free agency period. You obviously saw a lot of stuff that you liked about him. Is there anything now that you've seen him on the field for 2 weeks that's been extraordinarily productive that maybe you hadn't anticipated that is a pleasant surprise from what he's brought to your defense?
Well, I think he's really probably, just the complete player in terms of what he's done. The exposure that we had on film of Jordan was a little bit limited. That said, we've got Coach Babich who worked with Jordan at Cleveland, so we had an inside, some inside knowledge of what Jordan brings to the table or brought to the table back then and now what we're seeing him bring to the table for this football team, for our football team. So really love his toughness, scrappy player, puts in a lot of time in terms of preparation, instinctive football player. I mean, the things you look for, our DNA. He, 2 games in, I couldn't say more about the way he's played. And I would say the rapport he's building with Micah as well, and our linebackers, they're doing more things in between plays that are helping our defense. And that's been the growth from week one to week two defensively. I thought was phenomenal.
Check for this or
communication, disguise, yes, things of that nature, yes.
Just to be totally crystal clear on the quarterback situation, making a change didn't even cross your mind, it's not going to happen, Taylor's the guy, but you just completely clarify.
Yes. All yes, clarity, Taylor's the guy, not making a change.
Yeah. John, how did Shaq Lawson come out of the game health-wise? He's limping. Bad.
Yeah, he had a little bit of a nerve contusion that they're still evaluating. It made a lot of progress between yesterday and today, so we're still going through that evaluation, really. And we'll know a little bit more in the next, 24-48. He's another guy like that. So, all right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Head coach Sean McDermott addressing the media over in the media room, and not much injury updates on that. Marcel Darius, Cordy Glenn. Still being evaluated, McDermott said early in the process they hope to know more in the next 24 to 48 hours. As far as the offensive struggles, McDermott says, I know what we're looking at. I feel the frustration of the fans. And he also said, I thought this was interesting, Donald, about Carolina shutting down the Bills, what's supposed to be their bread and butter, the running game. He said, that's where we're going to look at things. Sounds like he is ready to dive deep into what happened with the run game yesterday, which he should. That's the foundation of what they want to do offensively.
In the run game, there are two sides of this thing. The first side is, let's not forget that is one of the best defensive fronts that they will face this year, aside from the one they're going to face this upcoming week.
The good news is that's one of the best. The bad news is the best one's coming up Sunday.
Exactly. That is one of the best ones that they will face all year. Those guys are good, right? So you look on the flip side of this thing, in the offensive line, if they can just hold their blocks a little bit longer, you could see a couple of plays where LeSean McCoy would almost break and he get tackled, and it's like, oh, man, that was the one right there. And it's because the guys are not able to hold their blocks long enough, you know? And so when you talk about the run game and it not being able to get done, that's the one side of it. That's the execution that we're talking about. Hold your block long enough so that he can actually break and make plays. Now, they're also, I'm sure, going to look at scheme versus a team, you know? And, okay, well, what if we have to spread it out and put Tyrod and Shady in the backfield and a shotgun type of thing and run some more looks that way just to open things up, spread things out a little bit, because teams are going to key in on the run. And if you bunch everything down, it bunches the defense down, and there's really nowhere to go.
McDermott asked about the decision to put Brandon Tate on inactive and have Kalen Clay handle the punts. He said they know what Brandon can do. They basically just wanted to get a look at Kalen Clay because he did have punt return experience. Mm-hmm. He praised the Buffalo defense. And, of course, he was asked about the quarterback. Tyrod's our starter. He had to say that at least three times. By my
count. He's a starter.
I guess some people might think that was an issue. Look, Tyrod's got to play better. The whole offense must play better if they have any chance of doing anything. But you're really going to change a quarterback to go to an untested rookie after two games?
They're not changing the quarterback right now.
No, that's
not happening. It's just not going to happen. We're talking about building chemistry with Tyrod and the receivers. Now you're going to change it to a rookie quarterback and rookie receivers. I mean, you know, you're talking about going possibly from bad, what we saw yesterday, to even worse. No matter how good Nathan Peterman might have looked in the preseason, it's a little bit different when you go against starters in the regular season, you know, and these defenses that know how to actually break on things. You're talking about DBs coming up this week that are probably the three best DBs in the NFL.
You like these guys, don't you?
I like this defense. Broncos, yeah. And Harris.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Man, these guys are good.
Yeah.
They are good, you know. And so, no, Tyrod is the quarterback. He has to continue to grow with these receivers. We said this before the season started. It's going to take time for the passing game to come alive. It truly is going to take time for that. But while that's happening, they need to figure out different ways to get the ball in the hands of LeSean McCoy, get balls in the hands of Charles Clay while these receivers learn everything.
Tlaib, Harris, and Roby, right?
Yeah.
Those are the three.
Mm-hmm.
Best in the game, three of them?
Combination? Yeah. Best in the game. Then luckily, they don't have Ward anymore.
Oh, man. That's what we're looking at moving forward. Hey, also moving forward on the show today, Chris Brown's going to join us at 2 o'clock. We'll get his take on yesterday's loss in Carolina, and we're going to take many more of your phone calls, get your thoughts on what went wrong yesterday in Carolina. That's coming up. Game Rewind coming up, too. A look back and a listen back to some of the highlights, some of the big plays of yesterday's game. All of that when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Now he takes the snap, looks down the right seam, and it is incomplete. Intended for Kelvin Benjamin, and Jordan Poyer is there to break it up. A yard deep in the end zone, and Benjamin is down. May have been shaken up on that play. What a good play by Jordan Poyer. We make it the Advanced Alarm defensive play of the game. Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. That was only after I saw the replay. I guess I knew right away it was a big hit, Donald, but that hit by Poyer down a yard or two deep in the end zone on Kelvin Benjamin.
I thought his ribs were broken.
Yeah.
I mean, did.
And if he doesn't get that hit, that's probably a touchdown. Wouldn't you think?
I thought his ribs were done. I didn't know if he was going to get up. Now, obviously, he ended up getting up, but that was a tough pass for and quarterbacks will throw passes, and they expect the receivers to make the catch regardless if you're going to get hit or not. But sometimes you got to take care of your receivers, you know, and you can't just throw. He threw that ball into double coverage, and that safety was lingering right there. Jordan Poyer was sitting right there waiting for him to throw that pass, and he threw it anyway, and he almost got his receiver hurt, broken ribs.
That was a great play by Poyer, defensive play of the game. A couple of calls here. Jeff calling from Olean. Hello, Jeff. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
How you doing? A couple things. That throw to Zay Jones, I think Tyrod is quite at fault for that throw, too. He wasn't perfect.
Did you hear Donald's explanation about that about an hour ago on the show?
No, but another thing, too, I think Peterman, he looked really good in preseason. I know it's preseason, but I think he would do really good. I mean, it's not time to switch yet, but how much time does Tyrod really need? He was here last year, and, you know, you say he's going to get better. Well, or he will get better. he's had a lot of time. And the other was the face mask I wanted to talk about, too, on they didn't call on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I missed that one, Donald. When was it?
I saw it. Sean McCoy got tackled, and they pulled him down by his face mask. And he got up grabbing his face mask, but no call came in.
I didn't see that. Yeah. Jeff, I would invite you to go back when the show was posted online and listen to the way we went through that play at 12:30 on the show today, just about an hour ago. It's a little more complicated than Tyrod threw a bad ball.
Yeah, it is. It's a little more complicated. We can all say, look, Tyrod needs to make the throw and dump it out there, even though Zay Jones went flat to the sideline. An experienced quarterback, people want to look at it. But when you really go back and break down the play, you can see why the ball was where it was. These quarterbacks, and we keep talking about Tyrod Taylor needs to throw on anticipation. When you throw on anticipation, that means you throw before the ball even – before the receiver comes out of his break,
yeah.
You know. And if you're throwing it that way, you're throwing to a spot that you expect the receiver to be at that spot. You know, that's why it's a timing-based offense. That's why it is a timing game. Both of those guys were wrong in that, but Zay Jones will learn from if he runs the route the way I think it was supposed to be run, then that ball is complete, and it's a touchdown. It's not even him catching it at the one. He's going to catch that ball in the end zone, and the game is over.
Let's go to Mark in Rochester. Hello, Mark. Welcome.
Hey, guys. I agree with you on that pass play. However, Tyrod had a pretty average day for Tyrod. He was completed 17 for 25, which is 68% of his passes. But for a paltry 7.31 yards per catch. That's horrible. The reason that we can't run the ball against any kind of halfway decent defense is because they have absolutely no respect for our passing game or our quarterback. I don't think that Tyrod is going to get any better than he is right now. He proved it all last year. He's throwing passes for a yard, passes for minus 1 yard, pass for 2 yards. I mean, it's ridiculous. The guy's got the only ball he threw downfield was the very last play of the game. How are you going to win football games like that?
So what's the solution, like, for next week? What do you think?
Well, you know what you got with Tyrod. You have no idea what you got with Peterman. I mean, I don't see any reason why not to play him. At least see if you have a quarterback that can play quarterback.
Well, we're not in preseason here. The goal now is to win games. We're not in evaluation time. And, yeah, Tyrod, you know, has played better. He might play better, he might not, but I think what they're going to do, and I think Coach McDermott just articulated it, is play the quarterback that gives them the best chance to win, and McDermott left no doubt about it that in his mind it's Tyrod Taylor. So I hear what you're saying. He's got to throw better all over. And, yeah, you're right about that. Teams will not respect the Buffalo passing game until they earn that respect.
The thing is, yeah, Tyrod has to play better. He missed some passes yesterday in the game, but – I don't know if it's that they don't respect the quarterback or his arm or any of that stuff. I don't know if they respect just the fact that you're not going down the field, period, mm-hmm. You know. And that's on the run game, the quarterback, the receivers. You have to do maybe the play calling. You have to do a better job of getting down the field. They have to respect that you have a guy that can go down the field and catch the ball. If they don't respect that, I don't care if you have Tom Brady throwing the ball. You don't have anybody that can get down the field. Mm-hmm. So what are we respecting right now?
A look and listen back to the plays of the big plays of the game yesterday comes right now. It is Game Rewind presented by Toshiba, the official copier company of the Buffalo Bills. The Bills in Carolina, beautiful day in Carolina, and the Panthers got the opening kickoff, started to drive at their 24, and made a couple of plays on third down to get things going. The Game Rewind presented by Toshiba. Out of the gun, Newton looks downfield, pocket collapsing, they've got him surrounded, he gets away from it. Now he runs downfield, he's got to keep it, and he holds up. No, he's still in bounds at the 35, he gets the first down, and he finally rolls down at the 31-yard line of the Bills. A 16-yard scramble for Cam Newton, that's what he can do. Cam Newton looks that way before the snap, now he takes the snap, looks down the right seam, and it is incomplete, intended for Kelvin Benjamin, and Jordan Poyer is there to break it up, a yard deep in the end zone, and Benjamin is down, may have been shaken up on that play. What a good play by Jordan Poyer. Carolina's 3-0 lead holds into the second quarter. They start a drive at their own 44-yard line and keep the ball for just under 7 minutes. They have a second and 4 at the Bills' 29-yard line. Newton looks Long time to throw. Fires down the middle. This one caught at the Buffalo 10-yard line and being dropped right there after the first down pickup is Ed Dixon, the tight end. Down to the 9-yard line, a 20-yard throw. Cam looks, fires into the end zone. It is broken up, incomplete. The pass intended down in the end zone, and it was broken up by Jordan Poyer. What a game. What a first half he's played. 6-0 at the half, 6-0 through most of the third quarter, and the Buffalo defense kept the pressure on Cam Newton. Newton has McCaffrey off his right shoulder. Now he takes the snap. Pressure coming, doesn't see it. A flag goes down, and Newton goes down at the 32-yard line. Cam Newton brought down by Jordan Poyer. Cam Newton takes the snap. More pressure coming. He's in trouble. He is sacked back at the 16-yard line. They brought him down there. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down, and Cam Newton is down, not getting up just yet. Trailing 6-0 going to the fourth quarter, the Bills finally get some offense going. Taylor's going to pass, takes the snap, has all day long, fires down the middle, caught by Jordan Matthews at the Carolina 45. They get the first down at the Carolina 45-yard line, a 15-yard pickup. Jordan Matthews spins the ball and starts hooting and hollering over at his bench and up into the stands. Taylor back to throw, 7-step drop. He has hit as he throws it. It is caught over the middle and going down all the way to the 34-yard line is Charles Clay. That's another Buffalo first down, 45 yards from the right hash mark. Snap is down. Hoskins kick long enough. On the way, it is up, and it is good. And with 11:09 left to play in the game, the Bills finally hit the scoreboard, trailing now 6-3. Carolina runs a long series, a field goal drive of 73 yards, and takes 8.5 minutes off the clock. So it's desperation time for the Buffalo Bills. Just under 2 minutes left to play. They are 2nd and 9 at their own 38. Bills down by 6. The snap. Taylor looks, drifts to his left, fires it downfield. Great catch by Zay Jones at midfield, and he is knocked out of bounds there. That's a 12-yard pickup, the rookie, with a 12-yard gain on a high pass, and he brought it down. Panthers, strong blitz, right side pass, near side, caught by Andre Holmes, and he's pushed out of bounds at the 32-yard line. That's a Buffalo first down. They're getting closer. They're getting closer. They got 9 yards there. Here we go, 4th and 11. Bills at the 33-yard line. Taylor looks downfield. They flood the field with receivers. He got a man open, Zay Jones, and he can't make the catch at the 4-yard line. Zay Jones got both hands on it at the 4. It was up high. He could not bring it down. And that will do it with 9 seconds left to play. Oh, what a tough way to end on that. The game rewind by Toshiba, the official copier company of the Buffalo Bills. 9-3, Carolina wins it. Yeah, no touchdowns.
No touchdowns. Coach McDermott talked about in that press conference that he just had a little while ago, you know, you'd rather have the ball 1st and 10 on the 20, you know, with more time on the clock where you can take a couple of shots at the end zone.
You're talking about
that call on
the
Andre
offensive
Holmes
pass interference
was
on
just
Holmes.
Like, yeah. What?
When it, you know, first happened in real time, I thought, well, that's kind of ticky-tack. And then you watch the replay and you're like, that's not offensive pass interference
right.
at all. Did the guy campaign for it, the defensive back, earlier?
Yeah, the play before. The play before, he was going – because they ran the same play back-to-back. Yeah. Andre Holmes caught it like a comeback route, and he was – you know, he went at him and was yelling. And he's like, he's pushing off. Then the next play, you get that, and he turns
late
around
–
late
way.
Flag, yeah, because he turns around, throws his hands up, and then the flag comes out. And it's like, come on, man. Like, make your own call. Don't let him campaign for a call and end up getting that call. That was rough.
20-yard – difference there, you know.
Yeah.
Rather than 1st and 10 at the 22, they have 1st and 20 at the 42. 20-yard difference.
I mean, with more time,
53 seconds left, wouldn't you love to see Tyrod taking shots into the end zone from the 22-yard line for
right.
a minute to go or so?
As
well, whatever. I mean, again, is that why they lost? No, that certainly didn't help.
Nah, but you know, when everybody's talking about the last play, there are so many different plays. Yeah, it all comes down to a handful of plays. And if you make those plays, you end up winning the game. But there are other plays throughout the course of the game. You didn't execute. You didn't make all of these plays. You didn't win the game.
We're going to come back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
John Murphy and Donald Jones live in our One Buffalo studio. Thanks to those of you tuned in on our flagship radio station in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550, and those of you watching the video feed on MSG and on satellite, right? People are getting it on.
Yeah, people are getting it out.
people all back over in the Jersey? Country.
Everybody, well, anybody who has DirecTV, they are able to see it around the country. So you get to see me styling and profiling and doing my thing, you know. Ooh, ooh.
I'm just going to let you go. Take that as long as you want there, buddy. I'm just going to let you go. Here is Tony in Depew. Hello, Tony. Welcome.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
We're doing okay.
Good.
I got a few things to take away from the game. I mean, the defense was lights out. It played awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrod Taylor seems to thrive in a shotgun setting with three wide receiver set, just like he did in the two-minute offense. Looked like a completely different quarterback. So now if I'm a coach, you know, if we're going to refer a great coach, we just try to play to the player's strength. Now, I know that's not the direction they want to go in. Because off the line of scrimmage, because of his being 5'11", he can't see as well as he could if he was 5-6 yards back from the center and snapping the ball. That's a huge thing right there for him. And if they want to jam this philosophy down the team's throat, then he is not the quarterback to run that offense. And that's, you know, I don't want to jump on the Peterman bandwagon. The kid's a rookie. Obviously, you know, we want to win. You know, that's – but obviously if he is missing wide-open receivers because he can't see them, then one of two things got to happen. They either have to adjust the offense for him so he can see what's going on. And to me, he looked – I mean, John, he did the game. You saw it. I mean, the guy looked like two different, completely different offenses when it became down to the two-minute offense. They should run it exclusively. You should probably see what might come of it if they did.
Yeah, there's some valid points there, Tony. One of the things that happens is, you know, when you got four downs to work with, you have 33% more time to work with. You know what I mean? You got four downs changes the picture a lot. Teams play you differently when you have four downs to work with as they do at the end of the game. But there is a good point to be made as far as Tyrod in a more spread setup as opposed – I mean, there were a couple of times, and I know they were playing conservative. They were – by the way, they got terrible field positions for most of the first half, and down near their own goal line, they loaded up. I mean, they had two tight ends and two backs, one receiver, and certainly the box is going to be loaded up then. You're not going to be able to do anything, and you don't have a chance to throw it downfield. But as we said, there's enough blame to go around.
Yeah, there's enough blame to go around. You look at the scheme itself, spreading them out. You know, it's always different in a two-minute setting because ultimately the defense, they don't want to get beat deep. That's the biggest thing. Don't get beat deep. So you'll see the DBs playing off 10 yards. So you're able to complete hitches and different things like that. So it looks like, man, as soon as you set up in a shotgun, now you spread them out, they're able to complete all of these passes. Well, the defense is playing you a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know?
And
you have four downs. Now, if you do it throughout the course of the game, you just have to make sure, and I'm not saying that you should totally just go spread offense. I think you need to mix it up. I'm a big person for mixing everything up so that the defense never really knows what you're doing. You know, you can go with, you know, two tight ends and go four wide. You can go with two tight ends because the defense, they wait for the offensive personnel to come on the field before they actually send the defensive personnel on the field. So if you come out with two tight ends, two wide receivers, one running back, one time you might just have two wide receivers out wide, you have two tight ends in tight, you're running back in the backfield, they're still sending out the same defense, you know. So it's just ways that you can move, you can shift, you can do different things to keep the defense off balance so they're not just loading up the box on you, Keenan, on LeSean McCoy.
When we come back, Chris Brown will join us, Bills Insider from BuffaloBills.com. We'll get his thoughts on Sean McDermott's news conference just about 45 minutes ago and his thoughts on yesterday's game. And, of course, you're welcome to join us as well at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Back with more from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Now the Bills 1-1 after yesterday's loss in Carolina to the Panthers. An offensive breakdown for the team with LeSean McCoy held to 9 yards on 12 carries. On defense, the Bills did keep the Panthers out of the end zone. Carolina 0-3 in the red zone in the game. They didn't get any takeaways, though, and several defensive players say that was a big problem. On the injury front, Sean McDermott met with the media about 45 minutes ago. Left tackle Cordy Glenn left the game with an ankle injury. Marcel Darius left the game for a while with an ankle injury. McDermott says he'll know more about them in the next 24 to 48 hours. And McDermott reiterated Tyrod Taylor is our starter at quarterback. Next up, the Bills and the Denver Broncos, Sunday, New Era Field. That's a 1 o'clock kickoff. Greg Olsen, the Panthers tight end who left the game in the first half yesterday, he suffered a foot injury, a broken foot, he told reporters. NFL Network says he's expected to miss about 6 to 8 games and could go on injured reserve. Sam Bradford, Vikings quarterback, is on the injury list with a cartilage issue in his knee. Head coach Mike Zimmer complicated the return timetable after the Vikings lost to the Steelers by saying he's fine. He might play one game from now. He might play 6 weeks from now. NFL Network says one game from now sounds more realistic. The Chicago Bears not moving on from Mike Glennon as their starting quarterback. According to John Fox, after their 29-7 loss to the Buccaneers, Glennon 31 of 45, one touchdown, two interceptions. And John Fox says everybody had their hand in that. Buffalo Sabres preseason schedule starts tonight. Officially, 7 o'clock against Carolina at KeyBank Center, the first of 6 preseason games they play tonight. And they play tomorrow night when they take on the Pittsburgh Penguins at Penn State. That game also will air, be at 7 o'clock at Penn State. And the Houston Astros have clinched the American League West crown thanks to Justin Verlander, acquired at the trade deadline, struck out 10 over 7 innings in his first home start for Houston. They got a big fifth inning with home runs from Derek Fisher and Marwin Gonzalez. 7-1 win over Seattle. Now Houston tries to gain home field advantage in the postseason by finishing with the best record in the American League. That's the update from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy and Donald Jones, we're coming to you from our One Buffalo studio and joined in studio by our buddy Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, his regular Monday visit where we break down the game. Hey, Chris, you and I had a conversation on the tarmac yesterday. Coming home.
Sounds very covert.
Right, doesn't it? Chris and I met on the tarmac. But we talked about the Zay Jones play and what went wrong. And Donald did a fantastic job about an hour and a half ago of kind of breaking it down. You guys have reached the same conclusion, and I think you're right. It's you know, people want to immediately jump to the blame game. Who do we blame, Tyrod Taylor or Zay Jones? It was a missed hookup, and it probably has a lot to do with the lack of cohesion, the lack of chemistry in the passing game. Wouldn't you agree?
Right, and I think we knew going into the season that with Tyrod Taylor missing the better part of the last 10 days before the season started due to his concussion, Jordan Matthews not being on the field for any preseason games, Zay Jones playing his first two regular season games of his career, and the other elements of the passing game in much the same boat, Andre Holmes, et cetera, that things are not going to be airtight probably the first half of the season. So to see this kind of a play unfold, I don't think should be shocking to anybody. Is it disappointing? Obviously. It's obviously disappointing. But the bottom line is this. Rick Dennison called the right play for the situation. He knew he was going to get quarters coverage, and that's what he got. And he lined LeSean up out wide to the right to run to the sticks and pull that corner up on that side of the field ever so slightly to give Zay some more room behind him. And then it was Tyrod's job to hold the safety in the middle of the field with his eyes. Mm-hmm. Tyrod did his job. Shady did his job. And Zay Jones got into the hole there. But I think as soon as he saw this corner cheat up, he said, all right, I'm going to break this route outside. I'll catch a pass by the sideline, get out of bounds, first and goal. You know, with 6-7 seconds left. And I think Tyrod saw, I held the safety. Now, if you watch that corner, he takes a step and a half up, and then he starts retreating. And I think Tyrod saw that and said, I'm putting it on his inside shoulder and lead him into the end zone for a touchdown. So Zay's thinking, get out of bounds, first and goal, stop the clock. And I think Tyrod, when he throws that, is saying, touchdown, win the game. And it's two guys thinking two different things on a play that was there to be made based on the call and the execution. It's just those two guys weren't on the same page.
And the only way that you can, you know, to make sure that everybody's on the same page is you have one rule. And that one rule is if you're running a flag route, you keep it high and I'll throw you down. That is the typical rule for wide receivers. If I'm running a flag route, I run it high, which he probably should have broken off to the back pylon. And if Tyrod Taylor needs to throw him down because the safety is starting to come over or something like that, then that's his job to do that. But those are the things that these guys are missing because Tyrod Taylor, you know, didn't play 10 days before the regular season. And just because Zay Jones is a rookie and he has to learn different things about this league and these different coverages. And it's so different than college, you know. So these guys, it's going to take them time to work together and to get the same chemistry. Not saying it's going to take years, but it takes a couple. It takes things like this to happen in a game situation so you can get the feel in a game situation.
Yeah, and I think Coach McDermott said that going into the Carolina game. He said, we're a team in the infancy stages of developing our foundation and becoming the team that we want to be. The Carolina Panthers, they've already passed puberty and they're sailing into, you know, the married years. You know, they've been together for a while. So, you know, you've got a team there that for a large part of them have been together 6, 7, 8 years. That's an eon in NFL football.
It is.
To have that core group together for that long a time. And I think them being on the same page is just by habit. It just naturally, organically happens on the field in a lot of cases. And for the Bills, that's just not there. It's just not a part of their offense. I think it's more part of their defense just because the guys up front have played together for a good period of time. But the guys on the back end have not. And some people say, well, you know, how come the defense can get it together so fast and the offense can't? I think there's a lot more interworking parts that have to blend together on the offensive side of the ball, whether it's the offensive line working together as a five-man unit, whether it's the quarterback being in sync with the timing elements of everything on offense. Offense is just a much more difficult animal to line up and get in sync than the defensive side of the ball.
We're talking focus a lot on that one play. Clearly, Chris and Donald, there was a lot more than that play that went wrong for the Buffalo offense, most notably the failure of the run game, which I think – to my mind, Chris, is two things. Schematically, you know, they're bringing guys down into the box because the Bills don't challenge anybody with a passing game, maybe are unable to do that. Secondly, a lot of lost one-on-one matchups up front on the offensive line for the Bills.
Yeah, and when I was on the pregame show on the radio side with Mark Kelso, I thought he had a very good idea as to the type of plan that the Bills should go into that game with regarding the passing game, and that was to run underneath crossers with guys running behind them. You want to cheat the linebacker up in a passing situation, run those guys underneath, knowing that this is a passing game that typically goes short, pull those linebackers up ever so slightly so you can drop some over the top of them and maybe get 15 to 18-yard gains and move the sticks more effectively. I didn't see a whole lot of that yesterday, and I thought the run game was a little predictable. I mean, not a lot of play action on first down yesterday, which is something that this offense does do. They just chose not to do it yesterday, and I thought it made their run game predictable. And when you're predictable against a fast-flow defense like this, it's going to be a death knell for you for sure, and, you know, the numbers bear that out.
And when you're predictable, especially on first down, you against a fast-flow defense, against a defensive front like they have, you end up with negative plays. You know, and if you end up with a negative play on first down, it makes it so much harder to get first downs, you know, because now you're in second and 13, you know, and you get 7 yards and now you're still in third and long type of situation. And that's why you end up at 31% or something like that on third down conversions. You have to be better on first down. You can't be predictable. You have to just do better on first down so that you can find yourself in second and third and manageable, and then you can pick up first downs and keep the chains.
Well, they only ran 16 plays on offense in the first half for a grand total of 39 yards. So it was not good all the way around. You know, from a play calling standpoint, from an execution standpoint, none of it seemed to work. Granted, you're going against a top flight defense. That's probably one of the three best defenses in football. And probably will be at the end of the year unless they lose some important people to injury. But that's why I found it interesting that Coach McDermott wants to look at the whole ball of wax. And it sounded to me like he would like to see some personnel groupings more varied, some formation looks more varied, some more pre-snap motion, some more play action. I think it's all going to be thrown into the pot this week. And they're going to stir it up and pull some different things out because I think they know if they don't, the offense is going to have a repeat performance against a defense that might be even more talented than the one they just faced.
Yeah, you know, against the Jets, it seemed like they were a little bit creative. You know, and we talked about that on the show and how Coach Rick Dennison was creative in the different things that he was doing and, you know, in goal line situations, out in the field, moving guys around. But yesterday, they didn't have – you know, he wasn't as creative. And it did seem a little bit predictable. And it was like, okay, you're going to run the zone here. Well, that's going to get stuffed. You know, even on the fourth and one, I mean, they went with like the fake dive and pitch. But it's hard to pitch it against that defense, you know, just because they run so fast. Those linebackers are running right with LeSean McCoy, and they are good open field tacklers. It was tough yesterday. And I know Coach McDermott, Coach Rick Dixon, they're going to come back and truly look at the film and find ways to really get these guys the ball. You know, we keep talking about this dynamic receiver that can get down the field. At the end of the day, this is the team that they have. So this is what they have to work with. They got to find ways to get LeSean McCoy the ball in space, Charles Clay the ball in space, Jordan Matthews the ball in space, and Zay Jones the ball in space. You have to get all of these guys the ball if you want to be successful in offense.
McDermott spent a lot of time fielding questions an hour ago about the quarterback position, part of it, obviously. But I think, Chris, you're onto something when it sounded like McDermott essentially was talking about almost going back to the drawing board or at least reevaluating what they do. Here's what he said about an hour ago, Sean McDermott, on Carolina's ability to stop the running game and how that really cuts at the foundation of what the Bills want to do on offense.
That's where we've got to look at things. We've got to look at doing things a little bit differently and, you know, moving some pieces around and putting players in positions of strengths and doing some things that we do best, which I thought at times we did. And I think at times we've done that over the course of the first two games. And so we absolutely have to look at that.
That's what you're talking about, Chris, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I think we're going to see some different looks out there, and I'm not saying they're going to go five wide, but that might not be a terrible idea when you're in the red zone. I love the idea. They did it in week one. I mean, I love the idea of going five wide in the red zone with Tyrod in the shotgun, because now you've completely spread that defense out. Whether they're fast or not, it's very hard to cover five guys out wide, and then, oh, you got the wild card at quarterback, you know, who's the sixth guy who could take off and run at any point in time. And when the field is spread to that degree, it makes Tyrod more dangerous with the ball in his hands if he does choose to tuck and run. So I liked seeing that in week one in the red zone against the Jets. We didn't see it this past week. And it goes back to when Vince Young was a viable quarterback in this league for me. They used to do that almost every time in the red zone with Vince Young. I think they knew he wasn't a super accomplished, accurate ball placement type passer who was going to throw people open. So they would spread the field, let him use his legs, and he'd either run around, buy some time until somebody came free, or let him go run into the end zone. And I think Tyrod is a guy you take a similar approach with. I think he's a little bit more accurate passer than Vince Young is, who's not in the league, obviously. But I think there are things that you can do to better take advantage of Tyrod's threat with his legs. That's not saying I want him to be a running quarterback all the time. I want to see him make pass plays. But if he's got a strength in this area and you have an offense that's struggling, you better, by golly, use that because, I mean, you got to score points. Yeah. You got to score points.
Got to get in the red zone. They didn't get in the red zone yesterday.
No, they didn't get over the 40-yard line until the second half. Their own 40.
When you think back to the game yesterday, first half to second half, was there an adjustment made at halftime in your recollection? Was there something that they did different? Obviously, the stats will show that the first half was horrible. The second half was a little bit better, but did they do something different when they came out? Or
if they did, it wasn't dramatic enough for me to notice. I just think their execution was just a little bit better. I think they made a couple of adjustments up front to block things up a little better in the pass game, but it wasn't anything dramatic. Because I think if it was and it worked, I think everybody would have been able to readily notice. And I think the difference between the first half production and the second half production would have been even greater than what we saw there. Because the bottom line is 40 yards at halftime, and they finished with 176 total. So, and they got about 50 of those yards on the last drive.
Series, yeah.
So you subtract that 50, you know, and you're probably talking pretty even Steven first half to second half in terms of yardage production.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com in studio with us for a couple of more minutes. We'll take your phone calls and comments for Chris or Donald or me at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Clinton calling from Indiana. Hello, Clinton. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, John? This is the first time calling, man. I love the show.
Thanks,
always.
Man. Thank you.
You guys out here, man. I'm a big Bills fan, long time.
Thanks.
I have – the first thing I want to say is, about Tyrod Taylor's situation, we have to give this guy a chance. Okay, he's a good quarterback, and you have to remember he lost almost every last one of his receivers from last year. He lost Woods, Watkins, obviously. I mean, the receivers he has now, he barely even had them for an entire month, including Matthews. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jones is the rookie, you know, kick the head up Jones, you know. But we have to give him a chance to build some chemistry, because right now Taylor doesn't trust those guys. They're the starters, but he doesn't trust them. That's why Clay got the most looks as of right now. Ever since last year, he got the most targets, you know. And the running game, Tolbert, if the running game is going to be the bread and butter, Tolbert should not be the primary backup. You have to go with Banyard, because Tolbert is too big and he's not athletic enough to make those plays. Last year, even if you take Tyrod Taylor out of the run game from last year, McCoy was able to get a break because Gillislee averaged 5.7 yards of carry. And they even made plays with McCoy on the bench. So we have to go with Banyard or Tywan Jones, somebody that can, you know, make some plays to give McCoy a break, because right now McCoy is already banged up, and it's the second game of the season. He needs a break.
Thanks, Ben. You make some good points, particularly his first point, you guys, about Tyrod not trusting the receivers. I guess I'm inferring that when I see Tyrod wait too long to pull the trigger again, kind of where he was a year ago, and maybe hesitate to force the ball downfield, I'm inferring that that's because of the lack of trust. He doesn't know these guys. He may not trust whoever it is to go where he thinks he'll be and to force the ball in there. Yeah. And that was his problem a year ago with guys that he knew, and now it might be even worse with guys that he doesn't really know.
Yeah, and that's why you, like he said, Clinton just said, that's why you see Charles Clay getting so many targets. He knows Charles Clay. That's why he will throw a check down to LeSean McCoy. He knows that he'll throw it out there. LeSean McCoy can make a couple of yards out of nothing at least. You know, when you don't know your receivers, it's hard to throw certain passes, because in this league, you're never really wide open.
Right. But I don't want to take Tyrod totally off the hook, because he has to trust them. He has to force the ball into tiny little windows and risk an interception, which I know he likes to avoid, but he has to. Otherwise, you get situations like yesterday where they can't loosen up the defense.
It's no different than a quarterback when he's asked by the media, well, you don't have your left tackle this week. Oh, you don't have your right. He can't worry about that. He's got to trust that those guys are going to protect him. Well, in much the same vein, he's got to trust that those receivers are going to be in the right place at the right time.
And fling it in there. I mean, even Kelso yesterday at halftime on his adjustments talking about chucking it downfield, basically. But you're going to have to loosen up that defense, or you wind up where you are yesterday.
Yeah, you think it's bad with eight. Yeah, if you think it's bad with eight in the box, wait until there's nine.
Yeah.
Because unless you start stretching the field and threatening people, they're going to have nine down there. And I'm telling you, I was watching some of that Denver defense yesterday.
Exactly. They will put nine in there this week because they trust those DBs.
I mean,
and
Chris
they don't
Harris
respect the receivers.
And Aqib Talib had an interception each, and Talib just robbed Dez Bryant blind in the end zone and then went 103 yards the other way for a touchdown. You know, Dak Prescott got sacked two times, and that's a big guy that you got to take down, not unlike Cam Newton. I mean, just about the same size, 240 pounds. And they made that Dallas offensive line look ordinary. And some people believe that Dallas offensive line is the best in football. So, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, 9 carries, 8 yards. And then Dallas said, screw it, we can't run on Denver. Forget it. So, yeah, they're going to have to get extravagant, unconventional with some of their pre-snap looks this week if they're going to catch Denver off base, because they're just very, very sound as a defensive front. Some might argue better than Carolina's defense.
Mark from Buffalo on the air with us. Hello, Mark. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You guys are doing a great job. Murph, I've been listening to you forever, back to Van Murphy days. Donald, you're doing great, but you're getting better all the time. That explanation on the flag route, I never knew that. I've been playing sports forever.
Thank you.
These guys are on, you're welcome, on the same page, meaning players, more than I may have ever seen. And it's just a small sample, but when you listen to them get interviewed after the game, they're all sticking together. Nobody's throwing anybody under the bus. I think the coaching job is doing a great job. I think the GM and the coach are on the same page for once. It's great to have the defense back and the quarterback. I think we all know that the only way the coach can answer those questions is to say Tyrod's our guy, maybe halfway through the year, maybe later, you know, who knows. But you got to give him a chance. But the thing is, you need a guy out there that's got the it factor, somebody that's going to find a way to get it done no matter what. Look at Derek Carr. Look at some of these younger guys that are doing great. They just find a way. And that's what I haven't seen in Buffalo forever. That's all I got, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
The responses. Thanks a lot.
You guys got anything on that?
Well, I think that's why people in Buffalo for the longest time just want the other guy.
Yeah.
Put the other guy in. Because if they don't think the guy that's in there is the guy with the it factor, you know, as the caller references, they just won't put the other guy in. And then if he's no good, they're going to say, put the other guy back in. You know, it's just, and I get it. I understand the frustration. You know, people, you know, that's why Jim Kelly is so beloved here, because he was the guy with the it factor. But I do remember a time when there were people that actually wanted Frank Reich to play instead of Jim Kelly, which is nuts, but it happened. But I think it just serves as an example. I mean, if they were saying that even back then, you know, now where you don't have the quote unquote franchise guy that you never have to worry about week to week, what's the situation going to be? This is our guy. You know, I understand the tenuous nature of the position and how frustrating that is for Bills fans, because, you know, there hasn't been a definitive answer there for 8 to 10 years. You know, it just hasn't happened. You know, and here we are with year three with Tyrod, and, you know, people I think were willing to be patient at the outset, see if he could improve, see if he could get better. We're only 2 games in this year. He has not been dealt a good hand this year in terms of what we've been talking about and the familiarity with his weapons. But he's got to make the best of it right now, and all you can hope for is that it improves as the year goes along and they get more time on the field together. Is that going to be enough to make this a balanced offense that other defenses have to respect? I think it's a work in progress and remains to be seen.
Let's take it off of Tyrod quickly. The offensive line, how'd the offensive line look to you yesterday?
I thought they had their problems sometimes in protection. The pocket collapsed a few times. You know, Kawan Short, man, that guy is a beast. 99, he's a special, special player. You know, I think Latulale is not quite as talented as him, but he's a guy that just gobbles up space.
Right.
And advancing the line of scrimmage, you know, driving those guys off the ball was a problem yesterday in the run game, and then holding up in the pass game was a challenge too. It didn't help that Cordy Glenn went out at halftime. Not that Deion Dawkins played bad by any means. I think he did okay. But, I mean, that's a tough group.
Yeah.
It's a tough group. I mean, they're talented across that entire front. I don't care if Julius Peppers is 37 years old. He's still a handful.
Yeah.
And Charles Johnson on the other side. So, I mean, you've got talented players there.
Mario Addison.
Well,
yeah, and that's the guy that everybody forgets about. Yeah, I mean, he's a productive player too. So when you can roll those people through, I mean, that's a big ask for any offensive line. And I'm not saying the Bills weren't up to the task. You know, that's just not an easy week to have answers. And, you know, coming off the performance against the Jets, which I thought was a strong performance, it was hard to duplicate that against a group that I think across the board is probably better than the Jets.
Hey, you two here together in our studio, and you spent last Friday night together in the broadcast booth, high school football, Aquinas and St. Joe's. Chris, I know you've done arena football play-by-play with that score. What was it, 65-56? Did you kind of feel like this is arena football?
It was like going back to the arena football days for sure, because there were 3 one-play drives.
Yeah.
And I was just – I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, it's like I'm doing arena league. This is crazy.
That's crazy. Aquinas have a running back, Karan Robinson. That kid is like – human cheat code, I'm telling you. At least in high school. He was like, they couldn't tackle him. Anything
legitimate
he did.
D1 prospect, people said, right?
In my mind, yeah.
So this week you got the big rivalry game, 7 o'clock here at New Era Field. Canisius Joe's, a rivalry unlike anything else you've ever seen.
You got it, Jim Nance.
A tradition unlike any other. No, it'll be a much bigger crowd, I'm sure, and the stakes will be higher for Canisius Joe's.
I shudder to think what the final score is going to be, because Canisius is coming off a 78-0 victory last week.
Ooh.
And, I mean,
that's crazy.
Granted, Joe's was playing catch-up, but they still put 56 on the board. So what are we getting this week?
Right, exactly.
Not a lot of defense again, I think.
Now, the thing is, Joe's made an adjustment later in the game because we kept saying, man, I wish they spread him out and let Casey Kelly throw it. They made that adjustment. They started to spread it out and put it in his arm, and the next thing you know, he was running and throwing for touchdowns, you know? So it should be a good game. And for me, it's interesting to see if they come out with that approach over so much option this week.
Yeah, 7 o'clock Friday night right here at New Era Field, Canisius Joe's, the big rivalry game. And, of course, Chris and Donald will have the broadcast on MSG and on OneBuffalo.com. Chris, we'll get you on the show the next, Wednesday,
sure.
Thursday, practice reports, right? Out there.
It's a long week.
Yeah.
Got plenty of time.
We're just getting started. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Good to hear more from you. Break down the game for us. What do you think about the Bills' loss in Carolina yesterday? Lines are open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones, as we talk about yesterday's loss in Carolina. You know what's frustrating, Donald, and this is pretty obvious, to be one play away, whether it's the Zay Jones play or Ryan Davis talking about this close to a block punt or, even on defense, a couple of plays, interceptions that could have been had. I mean, the game was right there waiting to be won, and the Bills just couldn't do it. It's frustrating. I feel why people are so frustrated about it. It drives you crazy.
But the crazy thing is, though, in this game, it always comes down to a few plays that you either make to win the game or you don't make, and you end up losing the game. And it's like when Ryan Davis comes in and he talks about, man, I could have blocked that punt. Like, that's a play that you can either scoop and score, or you're getting the ball on the 20-30-yard line with a chance going into the end zone.
And there were no short fields for the Buffalo offense yesterday.
None.
Nothing.
Not real short field. And he comes in with his hands up, and they always tell you put your hands down. When you're coming in to block a punt, putting your hands down right on his foot. Don't come in. And it's when you get through that clean like he did, you get so excited and confused at the same time because it's like – what just happened? Like, I just got through. But then you run in there and you go and you jump and put your hands up and you totally miss the ball when you're supposed to just put your hands down. And that's what he did. And it's little things like that will end up losing you games.
And I guess if you're looking for silver linings, positives, to hear Ryan Davis talk about how that bothered him, thought about it all night, or to hear some of the other players, Lorenzo Alexander and Kyle Williams telling me yesterday in the locker room we could have had we should have had some takeaways. I mean, the defense played great, but there weren't any takeaways. I guess the fact that they look at it like that, they're not all focused on one play, one misconnection downfield to Zay Jones. It's like, what did I do
could
have contributed?
And I guess that goes to the culture side of things. But, when you have a great game individually, it's like, man, I just had a good game, but we lost. It's still, it still hurts. Because, number one, we got to fly back to Buffalo now after a loss. Everybody's going to be quiet on the plane. You do not like to lose, And you would – Lorenzo said it in the locker room yesterday. Everybody would trade their individual performance for a win, to be 2-0 right now, and still in sole possession of the AFC East. Everybody would trade that for that win. Now you just got guys with individual stats and individual great games, but you still ended up losing, so you still hurt at the end of the day.
Time for a couple of calls here. Tony calling from Jamestown. Hello, Tony. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, John.
Sure.
I have a question about Tyrod Taylor. We've had two decades of, let's be honest, bad quarterback play, and there seems to be two responses to this. One of them is not accepting any play that is short of Brady, Rodgers, or Luck, and being angry and calling for the replacement of the quarterback. The other side, where I sit, seems to be happy we have a quarterback who doesn't cost us games. So I guess my question is there something that I'm not seeing as a fan that I'm happy with Tyrod, and I'm like, leave him alone, let him play because he's not costing us games? Is there something that I'm not seeing, or should some of my fellow fans maybe have their expectations a little lower than Brady, Rodgers, and Luck, and they should be more happy with what we have than what they're looking for?
Tony, I don't necessarily think that you know, you should be happy. I think we all know that, you know, and Tyrod Taylor himself knows that he can play better. He can, you know, be more accurate. He can sometimes throw the ball into windows where, you know, regardless if he can trust these guys or not, you still got to make the throw. You know, and if they don't make the play, at least at the end of the day, you made the throw, you know, and it's on the receivers to actually make the play. These receivers get paid too, you know, and so I don't know if it's – you should be happy with what you have. We all know he needs to get better. But at the end of the day, there aren't that many Bradys and Lux and Rodgers and those guys out there.
Leave Luck out of it for a second, please.
I mean, he put that name in there, so it was in my mind. But there aren't that many elite quarterbacks out there.
A handful.
Right. There's a handful of elite quarterbacks. Yeah. You have other guys who are good quarterbacks and, you know, with a good team around them, they end up winning a Super Bowl or something like that. But, you know, we all look for this elite franchise quarterback, but they're not just, you know, everywhere.
I mean, I imagine the same conversations going on at 0-2 Cincinnati right now about Andy Dalton.
About Andy Dalton.
And we already talked about on the updates the conversation about changing quarterbacks in Chicago, Mike Glennon or Trubisky. And if you don't have one of the elite guys, you always look at it and is he good enough? Is he good enough? Is he going to win a Super Bowl for us? Can we get to the playoffs with him? That's where the Bills are. Yeah. And I don't know that Tyrod's good enough yet. We're finding out a little bit more. I think he is the best option they have this week. And beyond, you know, and Sean McDermott said it, you know, he's our starter. So I wouldn't look for any big change, you know. And there's the thing that I know it's frustrating, and it has been bad quarterback play for, you know, the better part of almost two decades here. But there's more that goes on than just quarterback. And some people get so focused on, you know, how, you know, is this the game when we decide on our quarterback? Is this the game? How about, you know, you see how it plays out. When Tyrod plays, if he plays poor enough that you have to make the switch, they'll make the switch. I'm pretty confident in that.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, if he's playing okay, if they're getting decent play out of the quarterback spot, they'll stay with him. I don't think, you know, it's not a referendum that has to be voted on every 10 minutes during the course of a game.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's looking for this quarterback that this guy is going to win games for you, you know, and at the end of the day, you know that this guy is going to make the throw that will help you win the game. But here's the thing. If Tom Brady is on this team and everybody else is not making plays, he can't make the plays by himself. The guys still have to make the catches. The guys still have to execute up front on the offensive line. You still have to get a block punt, you know, and give him the ball back. I mean, these elite quarterbacks are not just coming out every year. And by the way, as everybody is looking at this draft, this upcoming draft for these quarterbacks, it's supposed to be a better quarterback class this year. None of these dudes look like they are the next franchise quarterback. Like, none of them. None of them, in my opinion, look like, man, that dude right there is going to be the number one overall pick. I mean, what are we talking about right now?
Probably four of them will be in the first round, though.
Right, and they're going to go in the first round. Yeah. Right, and you're going to have probably three of them not pan out.
Yeah.
One of them end up good, you know. So, right now, you have Tyrod Taylor, who is your quarterback. We'll see how it plays out with him. If he's not playing good, then, you know, whatever point in the season, then I'm sure they will make that switch to Nathan Peterman and see what you have in him. But right now, Tyrod is your guy, and you just got to hope and pray that he starts to make these plays and these receivers, and he will start to gel together.
Gary in Rochester. Hello, Gary. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Really, I've been watching the Bills since 65, and I'm frustrated as everybody else. But I don't put it all on Tyrod Taylor. I think it's coaching as well. You know, the passes that Jerry Butler and Andre Reed used to catch, they fall over their shoulders. They could cradle the ball. They ran through it. Tyrod does not have that one pass, and we needed that pass this week where he throws it up high. It comes down in front of the guy. He can only get through it. It falls in his arms, and he runs into the end zone for a touchdown. 3 years I've been watching this guy. He doesn't have that pass.
So what do you do, Gary? Gary, what do you do then today, this week?
You teach him to throw that pass. Oh. You teach him how to make that lob. He doesn't do it, and as a result, if you run behind the Buffalo receivers, all you got to do is put your arm up and tap the ball away. He throws arrows when he's accurate, but that's not always what you need. You need something that drops in there, and the guy can catch it, and the defender can't defend it.
You need a better passing game. There's no question about that. But
yeah, you need a better passing. Look, they tried to go deep a couple times yesterday, and there was literally – no separation by the receivers down the field. Like, I mean, no separation by the receivers down the field. So if I'm a quarterback and my receivers are just being pushed to the sideline as a quarterback, what am I supposed to do? I'm not here. Look, and I know it sounds like we're trying to defend Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor needs to play better.
Yeah.
He does. But he also needs his receivers to get open. You know, it's a combination. That's why it's a team sport. He needs guys to make plays around him. That's how it has to play out. And until then, look, he's still going to be your quarterback right now.
Sean McDermott met the media just about an hour and a half ago and was asked about Taylor, but also asked about the offensive failures in general. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I know what we're looking at. I mean, I feel the frustration out there. I thought we got into a rhythm at times, and other times we didn't. And you know, we're looking at everything, and you know, some of the deep shots we had up, called up down the field didn't work out the way we wanted them to, and then we get into a rhythm to start the second half. We get into a rhythm in the 2 minute, obviously, and made some plays. So there's some good things going on. That said, you know, at the end of the day, 3 points, it's hard to win games in this league when you're scoring 3 points. So we've got to look at a lot of things, and we're going to do that this week.
This does not – I mean, there was the thought process that if this team can't run, then there's going to be trouble moving the ball. I know you want to – you know, I mean – that's still there. How do you rectify that issue that if you can't run, you're not moving at this point?
Well, I think that's legitimate. You know, we've got to look at that and say, what are we doing to get the ball spread around the field and doing different things. We're looking at everything to change things up. You know, we've got to obviously try and keep defenses on their heels a little bit more. That was an aggressive defense we faced yesterday. We knew that. And there were certainly some things we could have done better, and we didn't get it done.
Pretty simple from McDermott's standpoint. We're going to take a break, come back, talk some more. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What we learned is presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Ryan Davis in here during the first hour of the show, defensive end, special teamer for the Bills. Almost got a blocked punt in that game. It would have been big. Ryan Davis talked to us about the Buffalo defense yesterday, being able to sack Cam Newton 6 times.
We talked about that a lot in the defensive room. He's a big guy with 6'5", almost 250.
Yeah.
Like, he's a DN playing quarterback. Yeah. Like, yeah. But you got to wrap him up. I think a couple of times we had him in our sights, but he got the ball out and he got out of a sack. So with him, you just really got to wrap him up and bring him to the ground and just hold, like, make sure he don't throw the ball.
That's what we learned from Ryan Davis. We heard from Sean McDermott, his news conference today. In that, he did talk about the Buffalo defense yesterday, how well they played, and how he liked their approach to yesterday's game.
They played extremely, extremely well. They played hard. You know, I think they've been on the attack, and that's what I enjoy seeing. I enjoy seeing our guys attack in all three phases. And when you do that, when you attack, normally good things happen. So they're playing well. You're seeing guys that, you know, we've brought in, or guys that have been here, develop. I see Ramon Humber put another good game out there yesterday. Jordan Poyer, I thought the pressure on the quarterback, they did a tremendous job throughout the game of affecting the quarterback from a front four, but also from pressure. So, and that, you've heard me say before, the complementary part of that is the rush and the coverage working together to get the quarterback to hold the ball. So that was all good, and I thought the red zone defense was outstanding. Obviously, not giving up a touchdown, give yourself a chance to win the game, which we had at the end.
Sean McDermott talking about how well the defense played. Donald Jones and I here wrapping things up, see if we can squeeze in one more call. Mark in Buffalo. Hello, Mark. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
A few comments. One, it's amazing the Bills lose with all the coaches that are around Buffalo calling in. But anyway, the defense did play great. I like the job Sean McDermott's doing. Guy earlier said they love his passion. Well, Rex had passion to win, too. And on Tyrod Taylor, you know what? If he has it, he has it. I don't know if he does or doesn't. I had never played. I'm just a fan of 53 years. He's been well compensated. If he's not the man and they move on, you know what? The last guy said give him time. The last guy that gave him time is an announcer, right? Rex Ryan. And the other one, Doug Whaley, is out of a job. So, you know what? It is what it is. I'm happy where the direction we're going. But, hey, in preseason, we all thought we were going to be 4-12. 5-11 anyway. So I'm one of them coaches, too, who thinks they can fix them. I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, the expectations are there. We know going into the season, and there was, you know, people thought they were pretty bad or whatever. But the painful part today, this day, is that there was a game waiting to be won. The defense playing so good yesterday. All it would have taken was one play, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't get that one play.
And because it sticks out in your mind so big. Everybody, that one play, everybody is putting on Zay Jones in that pass. But there are so many other one plays that could have been made throughout the course of the game.
Yeah, and whether you wind up the season with 4 wins or 8 wins or 10 wins, no matter how it winds up, yesterday is going to be one of those days when you think, if they had only done this, if they had only blocked that punt, caught that pass, blocked a little bit better for Shady, broken off a few runs, that's why that game will hurt.
Exactly.
It'll hurt for a little bit. Maybe by tomorrow it'll hurt a little bit less, as a matter of fact. Tomorrow, Thurman Thomas says he's pretty sure he can join us tomorrow. It's exactly what he said. So that's the promo for Thurman. Tomorrow, Trey Wingo will join us. Pretty sure he'll be with us tomorrow. Trey Wingo from ESPN with his regular Tuesday visit. So all of that on the show tomorrow starting at noon. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Derek Kramer is our intercom board op. Production assistants from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Colton, Nick Thomas, Hollander, Olivia Merrill, Shelby Russ, our producer, Jay Harris. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon with the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.